The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
You're early.
Roger that.
It's Thursday.
Why even call it Thursday?
Problem? We have pizza on Thursday.
Places, please. Quiet down.
Here is a complete disc jockey show with all the modern pace of today's exciting radio.
Good morning.
Let's get started.
Seriously. Let's go.
It's showtime.
Testing 1, 1, 9, 1, 5. Check 2. Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Steve-O, Mateo.
Hey.
And I am Dex. We are the Morning Invasion. Good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm depressed.
What's going on, man? What's happening?
You know when you wake up and like the first thing you see is something devastating?
Yes.
Dude! First of all, shout out to my boy D's out in Lake Tahoe, who texted me. He texted me at 5:30 this morning to let me know one of my favorite actors of all time passed away this morning. Thanks, bro.
Well, he's trying to help you out a little bit. I mean, you're going to be blindsided by that news any way you hear it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're talking Hans Gruber.
Yep.
We're talking Professor Snape.
Sorry, buddy.
We're talking the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh,
Robin Hood,
yeah.
Prince of Thieves. We're talking Galaxy Quest.
He was great in Robin Hood.
He was.
I loved that one.
Robin Hood was such a weird movie. But the reason is Morgan Freeman's role just really threw me off. I was like...
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Anyways!
Yeah.
We're talking Dogma. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was
Gosh.
In
it. Gosh. Alan Rickman, truly one of my favorite actors every year for Christmas. From Christmas to New Year's, my family, we do the Harry Potter marathon. We go through all 8 films. And he really is one of my favorite actors of all time. Passed away overnight at the age of 69. Succumbed to cancer.
Mm. Cancer?
Just like Bowie, 69 years old. Cancer.
So,
he was also the robot in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah. So it always happens in threes.
Yeah.
So you had Bowie. And Rickman, was there another?
69 years old.
Was there another that we don't know about?
No,
or is there yet
one
to be?
Come.
Strange.
Just saying.
That stinks. I'm
can't
sorry,
take
Steve-O.
This. I can't take it. If it's, you know, what's next? Well, speaking of, we were going to talk about Bowie today in the 9 o'clock hour.
Some would say death is the greatest adventure.
What is that?
Who's
from a
movie? Is that Captain Hook or Peter Pan or something like that?
I don't know where I heard that. Maybe, okay. You know what? Pan, maybe.
To die would be the greatest adventure.
Pan?
I think was that on Pan?
It was in Pan, but it was also in Hook.
Mm.
It was a throwback to Hook when he said that.
Nice.
I used that line on my my son the other day, mm-hmm. and he said it was the dumbest thing he's ever heard.
How old's your son?
10.
Gosh, that's terrible.
How could you even know that, Dad?
I honestly, he did. He did say that. He really did. And I thought I was throwing some wisdom down because when I heard that, I'm like, I got to set that in my memory bank.
Yes,
and remember
dude.
That
yeah,
one.
I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Man, if Johnny gets like that, I'm going to go full Michael Scott.
Imagine.
It's just going to be one. He's going to be, how could you even know that? I'm going to go, grounded.
It'd be way worse if he was like 10 and he told you that.
I know.
Father. Death. I'd be like, thanks,
is
Kylo.
The greatest adventure.
Be quiet.
Yeah. You're like, dude.
And I sat there trying to explain why death is the greatest adventure. And he just still was, stop talking, Dad.
Man. Yeah.
Fine.
Don't you get paid to talk in the morning? It's late afternoon. Maybe you should roll it back a couple.
Speaking of my son, Landon, that video I sent to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I laughed for 10 minutes just crying when he showed me. How he hurt himself, videotaping himself, lip-syncing to Justin Bieber.
Sorry.
My wife was, like, crying last night of laughter. And I'm like, what are you watching? And she's just watching it over and over. I'm like, you're watching a child get injured.
It was really
you're
funny.
You're watching a child get hurt.
Oh, man.
It was ironic that he was singing Sorry.
I know.
Too late, is it?
He makes that face. You guys got to check it out.
Yeah, I posted it up on my Facebook page.
Can I post it on the Star page?
Yes, please do. Yeah.
It's really important to post all of the stuff from here on the Star page.
That's good, man. Yeah, that's good.
That's exactly where you want it.
Facebook.com/Star88FM. If you haven't liked us already, get over there.
Oh, my son, he's so clumsy. He is. And he... I'm surprised he hasn't ended up in the hospital for a serious injury yet.
See, I haven't had that yet. Jack and Luke, none broken bones, nothing. Broken. You know what I mean? I didn't break a bone. Did you guys ever break a bone?
I did.
Oh, nope. Really? What'd you break?
I broke my leg and my
elbow.
Oh,
my gosh. In Montana?
In Montana.
Was it fighting bears?
It was probably just trying to gather breakfast.
Yeah.
In Montana.
Mateo nailed it.
Go outside and gather breakfast, son.
Yeah, I was hunting for breakfast.
It wasn't the breakfast. It was that you left the cast iron skillet with like water in it for 2 days.
I like that. I'm going to stick with that story.
There you go.
I was hunting for breakfast.
I was hunting.
No, yeah. Really. What'd you do? I want to know.
No, that's what I
No.
I broke my elbow. We were playing, I think I was 12 when I broke my elbow, and we were playing football, and it was at school, and this kid who was huge, had no business playing with us. Mm. Yeah, I think he was 15 or 16 playing with a bunch of 12-year-olds, and he thought he was cool, and I was running with the ball, and he grabbed me. Picked me up and threw me down, and when I went down, I went to catch myself,
and
it just cracked my elbow.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I broke my leg playing basketball when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm. So gathering breakfast.
Yes,
I think that's a better
I think
story.
We should go back to the...
Okay, cool.
I was hunting grizzly bears.
Yeah, Legends of the Fall. Yeah. Tristan.
Because we eat grizzly meat for breakfast.
It's Brad Pitt's character in Legends of the Fall. Yeah, I know his name.
That's fine.
It's one of my faves.
Was Alan Rickman in that
He one? Was not, but Aidan Quinn and Anthony Hopkins, which, by the way, man, Anthony Hopkins, don't go, bro. Just stay with us forever.
I'm going to go ahead and be honest with everybody.
I can't take any more sad news.
If you're new to these airwaves and you're like, who is Steve-O? I'm going to give you the easiest way to connect with Steve-O. 90s movies. He's seen every single one of them.
And 90s music,
They're
right?
all his favorite movies.
Yeah.
And
you will make a best friend.
Yeah.
There you go.
You and my wife, you're the only two people that I know that just love the 90s. I mean, just love them.
That was my prime, yo.
That's what my okay? wife says.
That was when life was awesome. Mm-hmm. All right? I didn't have any responsibility, none of this family crap. I'm just kidding.
Family crap.
The music was just, you know what's interesting? Honestly, music was just great.
It
and
was
maybe
a great
that's
time.
Because that's where I discovered deeper music.
Yeah.
Because growing up, it was just, you know, you listen to whatever your parents, whatever's on the radio. Yeah, I had bands that I quote unquote liked up until that point. But truly, Nirvana changed my life at the time. And I mean, it brought about an incredible scene. In fact, 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about David Bowie and the quote-unquote cultural icon or idol that he is, and whether or not that's a good idea to celebrate or have those idols. Yeah! Love it!
Did you? Oh, Brian Nixon's going to lose his
Did
mind.
Did you make a medley?
Montage. So, speaking of montages,
nice.
I was reading an article, it's the 27 greatest covers of David Bowie ever, and I assumed that my favorite was going to be number one. It was number two.
Oh.
Can't wait to hear it.
But Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana, second greatest Bowie cover of all time.
I know number one.
I don't know, man. I was pretty thrown off.
It wasn't Old Jacob?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't even on the top 27
really?
List.
Really? Wow.
Peter Gabriel, Heroes, was number four.
No way.
Yeah. He wasn't even on top 27. Ah! Just hold on. Peter Gabriel covered that, and I was blown away.
See,
had no idea.
I heard it for the first time because of the Wallflowers,
yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And wasn't it for the Godzilla soundtrack, like the Matthew Broderick Godzilla?
Yeah, sadly, that's why it wasn't on
and
the
then
list.
I was totally one of those dudes who later in life heard the David Bowie version and was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah, Bauhaus was
probably
number one Space Odyssey cover. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But B-Nix was like, oh, yeah, yes, of course. Our buddy B-Nix is like a professor of life.
Yeah, he
so
really is.
So he's going to kick it with us in the 9 o'clock hour.
I can't wait. Let's think about it Thursday.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. Got stuff for you to ponder today.
Go ahead and think about it.
A lot of stuff, including shoes to wear or not to wear in La Casa.
Ooh.
I found something, dude, that's going to revolutionize the way you wear your shoes.
Do you guys take your shoes off when you get home?
Oh, yeah.
We do.
My wife wants us to, but we never do.
What? Oh, right. Dude. I'm gonna hopefully help Leslie out here with her argument, okay, because it's
we
gonna
do,
change
but
your
it's
world.
It's not a rule. It's not a take your shoes off and leave them at the door rule.
Yeah.
It's more of a take your shoes off and stay a while thing.
See, we have wooden floors and we have like tapestries and like you know, like walls made of paper.
Steven?
We just...
Is this Steve-O or Steven?
We take our shoes off outside, actually. We bow when we walk in.
Oh.
You're one of those
tea
guys.
Is served instantaneously.
You're making fun of Eastern religions. Got
yeah.
it.
So, you know. My mom told me they were all a lie, so...
It's Thursday morning at 6:15, and you're already making fun of Eastern religion.
Oh, man. My wife last night, we were getting ready for bed, and I said, did you listen to the show today? And she's like, yeah, I listened. And I said, oh, man, did you hear my Al-Qaeda joke? And she goes, yeah, no, I heard it. I feel like I would laugh more at your show if I weren't constantly worried you were about to get fired.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
That's so true.
Just so you know, my wife does not love our show. She's just constantly terrified, like, oh, financial ruin.
See, on the
because of my
end,
mouth.
I think Don's more like, hey, why don't you just say more controversial stuff? Because I'd love to move back to Nashville.
And I'm in the boat where if I get fired, my wife doesn't work.
So, oh, dude, you are
I'm
hosed.
Moving in with you guys.
Yeah, you're moving in. We're you and all your kids.
We're just all getting an apartment together.
Oh, and none of us won the Powerball last night.
No, not even one.
Tonight's
number, right.
Jackpot is approaching $1.6 billion. That's billion with a B. I hope you have your tickets. Good luck. Let's play some Powerball. First number down is 8. And right after that, America, we have the number 27.
Nope.
Next number down is 34. After that, we have the number 4. And we're going to wind it up this evening with the number 19. All right, now for your winning Powerball number.
Come
good
on.
Luck to you.
Please
choose
be
the number 10 tonight.
Yes!
And that power play multiplier.
No! I didn't get the Powerball.
Not me.
I didn't get one number right.
I
bought
either.
Two tickets.
Do you have to buy a ticket to win?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, then we couldn't have won anyway. Yeah. I thought it was like a mental projection.
I'm not
thing.
A quote-unquote gambling man, you know?
Yeah.
You got to know when to hold them.
That's
right?
True, Kenny.
You got to know when to walk away.
Yeah.
And know when to run to the gas station and buy 3 lottery tickets, which is what I did last night. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually bought 3. And the best part was my wife was the one that said, hey, you think we should grab one?
Just,
I said,
just maybe.
I don't know. Do you want to? And she said, sure. So she goes to the gas station and she calls me and says, there is a crazy line. Do you know how to do this? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Do you know how to do this? Really? You guys have never done it before?
No. And so
you
so
say,
she,
I just want one Powerball ticket, please, and give them $2.
Yeah, but
you
aren't
don't
there
pick
different
your numbers?
Tiers?
No, you should never pick your numbers. The odds, they say that you have better odds if you go with the computer picking your numbers.
Yeah, the computer picked our numbers. And then we were furious, and I was like, see, I knew it. Cyberdyne. They're taking us down, bro. Didn't get one thing right.
It's, well, that, so. It's that Google.
Yeah.
There were at least 3 winning Powerball tickets.
There were
last
3?
Night.
Three.
Oh,
the last
man.
I saw was one in Chino, California, or
yeah,
Chino
that
Hills.
That was the first one I saw.
Yeah.
I guess that was sold in Chino Hills, California, outside of LA. One was in Tennessee, and one in Florida.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, man. I I didn't want to win. I wanted one of my friends to win.
Yeah.
I really did. Because it was like, I don't want to have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, like all of the financial. But I had multiple friends say, bro, if I win, you're set.
Yeah.
Yep. And so they don't know yet, of course, the 3 individuals. I don't know who they are, when they're going to come forward. What, do they have a year to come forward?
Isn't like Steven's family and Don's family and a lot of families from Florida?
Yeah, you guys
interesting.
We know.
That's weird.
We just know people from Florida.
Did you guys see the people that worked at this bar? I believe it was in Florida. They it was for last week's drawing. They were all at work and they on the screens they were watching the Powerball drawing and they got all the numbers right.
No.
But they were looking at the week before. Oh. They nailed all of the numbers, all six numbers, oh. but it was the drawing from the week before.
No.
They were freaking out. One guy that did valet, the guy asked for his car, and he goes, get your own car.
Oh,
I'm a millionaire.
Man.
I just won the lottery.
Did he really?
And like people quit on the spot, and then they found out later on that
they were looking at the wrong numbers.
See, that's why you don't just quit on the spot.
Oh, man. I saw a group of people yesterday. I was reading an article. There was a group of people. I think it was in California, actually. They all work office pulled together. They bought 72,000 lottery tickets.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. They all went in with a giant group at work, and I think that you had to throw in like 500 each or something like that.
What company do they work for?
I have no idea, but I mean, you think about it. If you pulled together and you bought 72,000 lottery tickets and somebody won, I mean,
yeah.
If you split it 1,000 ways, you're still a millionaire.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe how crazy this has got. I can't remember the last time everyone... Like everyone, quote unquote, Christians included. You know what I mean? Because normally it's like, oh, I would never. Did you buy that Powerball? did you buy the Powerball, man? Powerball. Yeah, I don't gamble. Gambling's a sin. However, did you buy that Powerball?
Did you guys hear about the guy in Texas who he went to buy a Powerball tickets and he fell into a 7-foot hole?
He had better odds of falling into a hole than he did of winning $1 billion.
He's 67 years old, and on Monday night, he went out to buy his Powerball tickets, and, well, he's walking to the store, and all of a sudden, he fell in a 7-foot hole, and he was lying there in the cold water for a few hours. Guy's 67.
27.
I read a statistic yesterday that said you were more likely to be elected president of the United States eventually than winning the Powerball.
Yeah. And well, Trump's like, I got both.
Yeah.
This guy was he was stuck in this 11-foot hole for so long that eventually his family, they reported him missing because he didn't come home. So the police launched a search, and then they found him in the hole, 11-foot hole. And there's no word on how he's doing. But
at least he's not in the financial hole, am I right? Am I right?
Wonder if he got his Powerball tickets.
I doubt it. Pretty sure he just went home. Dude, if you're walking to do something and you fall into a hole, you're like, all right, God, note taken. All right, I am.
Yeah.
Got it. Point taken is what I meant to say.
Point.
That makes way more sense than note taken.
Note taken.
Guy's in the hole with a notepad.
Yeah, he fell in the hole and there was a notepad. And it said, from God. Oh.
Oh, sweet. Note taken.
And then the Lord was like, yeah, I used to put secret notes in caves and stuff for people to find. Now it's just holes.
Yeah. Well, no. Coming up, I want to play a round of yes or no with you two.
Okay.
And it has to do with the $1 billion lotto.
No.
It's things you could buy with $1 billion.
No.
Okay. Okay. Things you could buy with $1 billion?
Things you could buy with $1 billion.
All right.
Hopefully one of our friends or family members won.
Yeah. We need to reach out to our friends in Florida.
Yeah, for real.
Well, good morning. It is Thursday. Think about it, Thursday. Dex, Steve O'Mateo. We're going to take a break. We've got some news on the way. Some great stuff in the news this morning.
Yeah. Is it weird that I'm singing Kiss the Girl from Little Mermaid to this music in my brain?
Yes.
Okay. Just saying. I can totally pull it off.
All right, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
The Powerball drawing at $1.5 billion.
Former NFL running back Lawrence Phillips is found dead in his California prison cell.
Ted Cruz has picked up a celebrity endorser, Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson.
Stock prices took another big drop.
Sailors detained by Iran are now free.
Bill Cosby won't have to be deposed next month. Federal judge agreeing to hold off on that deposition.
President Obama hit the road. First up, Omaha.
In Flint, Michigan, they're telling people to beware of scammers selling water filters because those are part of what the National
Guard and others are distributing for free to deal with the water crisis there.
A French police official says an avalanche struck a school group skiing in the Alps.
General Electric is moving its world headquarters from Fairfield, Connecticut to Boston.
Commando Force has arrived in Iraq to help in the fight against ISIS.
Less than 3 years after launching, the cable network Al Jazeera America is shutting down.
The Treasury Department's announced new rules aimed at preventing money laundering, cracking down on secretive purchases of high-end real estate.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Also, Alan Rickman died.
Come on.
Ugh. Somebody talked to, or a bunch of people, you guys are being a little negative. And so we're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to be positive.
Just be positive. And then Alan Rickman dies, and you're like...
Sorry, Steve-O.
If you need a laugh, go to our Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm, and watch the video of Dex's son Landon's rendition of Justin Bieber's song, Sorry.
It's yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's
we're
so good.
Sorry, not sorry, for posting it. What was...
That was giggles.
I thought that was you laughing.
Really?
That scared me.
It's laughter.
What happened to Steve-O?
Do I really... Does my laugh that obnoxious?
No, that's why it scared me.
Oh, okay.
Totally sounds like him.
That sounds like the little boy that turns into a donkey in Pinocchio. Dude, we were going through that ride in Disneyland, and Chrissy was going, what happened in this movie?
Has she never seen Pinocchio?
I don't. Apparently, she couldn't remember it because you go through, and those, let's be honest, those old kids' rides don't really explain a whole lot.
They're a little
like
freaky.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarves ended, and I went, what? Because the whole thing is like the witch and the queen and crazy and here's the apple and evil and chaos and then all of a sudden you've got like one little room and she's on top of a cliff and she goes, ah! And then you go to the next room, it's like, and they all lived happily ever after. What?
Did you know it was in that ride was in Disney World? It's not there anymore, but it was called Snow White's Scary Ride.
Yeah, dude.
Because little kids kept calling it scary. The funny thing is, it replaced Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which featured something that wasn't in Mr. Toad's movie at all.
You mean when he goes to hell?
In the ride, he went to hell.
Yeah, we went on that ride.
And when I was a kid at Disney World, it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's pretty rough.
Yeah, we took the kids on that ride, and that was their first response was, wait, so what happened? And I said, I think he drank too much, got into a car accident and died, went to hell.
Yeah. And so they replaced that ride with Snow White.
Oh, it's still at Disneyland.
But then at the Haunted Mansion in Disney World, in the little graveyard, there's a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride gravestone.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's comical. Let's bring it around to comedy. That's hilarious.
Well,
gravestones.
It's kind of like an homage to the ride.
Yeah.
These guys are scaring me. Stop.
Are you afraid?
I am.
We can move on.
You should be.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Everyone, thanks for joining us. Hey, don't forget, we have a podcast. Mm-hmm. If you only get a little bit of the show every morning, or maybe you are one of my listeners who have told me, hey, not into the music. Well, we have a podcast. You can download that. You can listen to it right on your smartphone.
You can.
And or you can go to star88.fm and click on our Morning Invasion page. And the last two shows are up.
Yep.
Go and check them out.
And it's free.
You can do it whenever you want in your time. You know, driving around or just chilling at home. We'll have it up on iTunes here soon, right?
I think it should be up
allegedly there
in the next couple days.
Yeah.
Just type in The Morning Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to check that out.
Maybe so.
So there you go. There's some ways you guys can check us out if you only get a little bit of the show. And 9 a.m., we're going to have theologian.
He's a professor.
Professor.
Of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
Life.
Liberty.
In the pursuit of happiness.
His name is Brian Nixon.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people.
He's a really good dude. He is.
That guy, I can't comprehend his brain.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If you're a skeptic, let's say that you are, as you just mentioned, a fan of the show but hate the music because you're like, bro, I'm not a Christian. I don't get this crap. He is an excellent dude to hang out with because he's not one of those like, well, then Bible says... He can he can very well articulate truly what the Bible does have to say, but in a way that is very real and open and honest. Because I know there are a lot of times where you're like, well, yeah, but I heard the Bible said this and this. How can you reconcile this and that and the other? He's actually a professor of like biblical history. And so, you know, you watch one documentary on, oh, well, I saw this on the History Channel, and they said that the Bible was invented
when, I was watching YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So he's actually got some deep knowledge on the history behind Scripture and just an all-around good dude to hang out with. So I love talking with that dude because I still have questions regularly. So
yeah. My favorite thing to do is just to go back on your guys' podcast and just listen to the past Theology Thursdays that you guys did because, man, there's some good stuff in there.
It really is.
I mean, the stuff that you guys are talking about, you guys are amazing.
This is so great. Where's that donkey laugh? Yeah. Yeah. It's all right.
It sounds the same.
It really does now. I'm going to have to change my laugh. Ha ha!
No. No. That's a guffaw. What is that?
I have no idea.
I'm not going to let you do this on. Sorry.
It's okay, man. It's got some giggles.
God,
is this still happening?
No. Well, I mean, the audio.
whoa, hey, bud.
It's really so stupid.
So good. So good.
Yeah, Steve-O.
Thanks, guys.
Let's jump into some of the news you found this morning.
All
right,
cool. A group of 270 people in Florida pulled at least $500 each to buy $146,000 worth of Powerball tickets.
Wow.
That gave them the odds of around 1 in 4,000.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Those people out there.
Still lost.
Those people out there that spent thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No. Yeah. You could have bought me a car.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I need a car.
In case anybody was wondering if Steve-O needed a car.
Yeah, I need a car.
He's just going to throw it out
just
there.
Just need one.
Yeah, if you're one of the lucky people out there that won, Steve-O needs a car.
I just need a car, bro. Nothing fancy. I don't want anything lavish, you know.
So during the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, the search team accidentally found something. It wasn't the plane. It was a 19th century shipwreck.
Whoa!
If you're going to go on a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
I guess you could call
they
it.
They found
a treasure
Rose's
hunt.
Jewel.
Yeah, this is something you want to find. So it led to the discovery of the body of an old ship resting almost completely intact at the bottom of the southern Indian Ocean. And this is coming from the Joint Agency Coordination Center.
Was there treasure? That's all I care about.
The reason behind the disappearance of Flight MH370 still remains a mystery, despite a multi-million-dollar search for the plane, which has been going for 2 years. But, you know, if you can't find a plane that's been missing for 2 years, you might as well find a shipwreck that happened, 300 years ago?
I was reading something a while back, and they were trying to calculate just how much treasure is in the ocean. And it's mind-boggling.
Really?
I mean, there's so many undiscovered things that are down and even close to the shore that we haven't even discovered yet. You know, we just stumble upon them when we're out scuba diving, you know?
Life is much better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Thanks,
up
Sebastian.
On the shore, they work all day.
So, speaking of Disney, the It's a Small World ride at Disney World, that's like a scale model of the world's oceans. Because if you're riding that thing and you look down in the water, there's change.
Yeah.
There's just so much change. I think it would be great. If we were going to ever decide to rob something, guys, this is what we're going to do.
It's a small world.
We're going to find a way to sneak into Disney World one night, drain It's a Small World, collect all of the change, and then fill it back up before morning.
That is a terrible... You know how heavy that would be?
You know how rich we would be?
I have one of those change machines where you dump it in, and it'll totally pack the
oh, that's cool.
Sort them out.
Yeah.
I have one of those.
What are the machines at, like, grocery stores now where you can put your change
but
in
But that's
there?
The thing. You see guys go in there with these giant, like... Culligan tubs full of change that weigh 40,000 pounds, and they pour it in, and it's like ding, 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 and it's counting for like 2 hours, and like, yes, 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 $83. Cool, bro.
But that's half
I've
the journey.
I've been collecting for 7 years.
That's like you you drain the It's a Small World. You take all the change to the grocery store. You're standing there at the machine. And then you have like, you know, you meet people.
You red box something.
You have
you're
a
like,
meet
I've never
cute.
Seen this movie.
You're like, oh, who's this new person?
Oh, this is so this? Great.
Changes your life. More ways than one. There's a man in Brazil who is allegedly 131 years old.
What?
I wanted to ask you about it because somehow you're older than
yeah,
that guy, Steve-O. How'd you do this?
This is true.
That would make him the oldest person in modern history.
That's not real.
I say modern because in the Bible.
Yes.
Methuselah.
Yes.
What was it, 963?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Also, I am hundreds of years
Yoda.
Old. Yeah, he did. I thought Yoda was thousand. No,
no
that's,
when 900 years old you become.
What's your in episode 7 so. Though? The new she's been. They say she's lived for thousands of years.
You know, I read something yesterday. Which mild spoiler alert. If anybody hasn't seen Star Wars, first of all, really, bro.
Wait, don't do this.
What?
We want to protect this.
I heard this really dumb theory yesterday.
We'll talk about it off.
Okay,
air.
We have to. It's a raised parents, and it really.
I don't
want to
talk. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about it, Dex?
No, I don't want to talk.
Okay, good.
I don't care.
Two to one.
A study finds your dog can detect your emotions, Steve-O.
Yeah.
And your dog too, the pug.
I love my pug. I love.
You have a pug?
I love my pug.
What's his name?
His name is Vader.
Oh, that's cute.
Is he blacked out? Is that why
I'll show you a picture.
Oh, gosh.
There's no results yet on whether or not cats can detect my emotions. If you're new to this station, I got to tell you something about myself.
He's
this
the
is
lonely
Teo.
Cat, man.
I've got two cats.
Yeah.
Okay? And so my wife sings in a band, and so sometimes when she goes out on tour, she'll take our baby, and they're gone. And
yeah.
So it's just me and Panda and Beans. Panda's the girl cat, and Beans is the boy cat. And Beans, he is just a myriad of emotions.
He's the best and worst.
He's a mystery.
Are they fun cats?
They're awesome.
Yeah?
Beans was raised with puppies before we got him, and so he acts like a puppy.
Yeah,
he
does.
Needs constant attention.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because having cats, I would think, would be nice in a way, because you could leave them, and they don't care.
No, it's great. It works out for us, because... when I was touring and she was also touring, we could leave Panda and Panda would be fine. You know, dogs need so much attention.
Oh, they do.
But then you have a cat like Beans who is waiting for you at the door. Like yesterday, Dawn went out to get groceries or whatever, and I was sitting there with Johnny, and Dawn starts coming up the stairs, and I hear her, and Beans straight up walks up and just sits in front of the door waiting.
Yeah.
And then she opens the door, and she's like, "Move, Beans!" And he's like,
I honestly think my pug is part cat because he jumps up on the couch and then he hangs out on the window sill and waits for us to come home or just checks everything out like cats do. I've never seen a dog do that before.
Yeah. Panda's the typical cat. She disappears
Panda's
for hours.
Panda's the jerk roommate that you never see. That it's like, at least you're paying rent, but I don't even know what your lifestyle is like. Yeah, that's Panda.
She's out there somewhere.
Yeah. She's lavish.
Man, Beans
I love
is,
that cat.
Beans is hilarious.
I just said I love that cat.
I know you did. Wow. I worry about Beans, though. I really do.
Is he depressed?
He's not depressed. I just don't think he's very smart.
Yeah, he's special.
Cats are supposed to be really smart.
I don't know about Beans. I think I found a good one.
Beans is the one you look at and just say, God bless your little heart. You little sweet thing.
All right, we mentioned Star Wars a moment ago.
Yeah.
Ahmed Best is the guy who played Jar Jar Binks, the worst character in all of Star Wars lore ever.
Yeah.
Well, he just did a new interview, and he says he'd never do it again.
No, I think I've done my damage. I'm good with where I stand in the Star Wars universe. I don't need to be back. I'd say no.
Would you?
I'm not really interested in... Yeah, I'm not interested in coming back. I think I did what I did, and I thought it was great. I thought it was fun, and I think now it's time to move on.
Whatever, you're the most hated dude in Star Wars lore.
Yeah, there's no way he would ever come back, right?
As if anybody ever thought bringing him back was a good idea.
He came back
I've done my time.
He came back in the Clone Wars, or in the cartoon.
Did he?
Jar Jar Binks made an appearance and he did the voice.
Why?
Yeah, that just freaked me out because I realized he didn't really change his voice
He
very much.
Didn't change his voice
I started talking and
here.
I was like, Misa Jar Jar Binks!
No, I think I've done my damage.
Yeah, it kind of does,
I'm
huh?
Good.
Yeah.
My damage.
Where I stand in the Star Wars universe.
Andy!
Worst character ever. Worst!
Yeah, that's the worst.
But my kids love Jar Jar Binks. Because they were that they were the tiny age where it's like, but he's so funny.
Caleb never liked him.
Oh, really? Yeah. You have a weird kid, man.
He is. Yeah. No, he's great.
Does he listen to The Cure and wear all black? And
you know, he kind of does.
Which one is this?
Caleb, my oldest.
Yeah. And then Landon's just falling around singing sorry all the time.
No,
dude. Amazing.
And then in local news, there's a dragon balloon in the works for this year's Balloon Fiesta.
A dragon?
The quote is, it's easily going to be one of the biggest and tallest shapes at Fiesta this year.
Perfect.
We can only hope for the weather we got last year, because that was awesome.
Great balloon. I love the Balloon Fiesta. Huge fan.
Huge fan.
Yeah. Do you want to do traffic?
Oh, we could. Man, is there anything?
I got it ready.
Oh, man. Right,
we got to play yes or no.
We're going to do that right after traffic.
No accidents to report, but I did want to say, guys, the right lane's closed over at Manal in Pennsylvania and Louisiana. So that could be a big mess this morning. Seems like that's a pretty busy place. So I wanted to highlight that. Also, just watch where you're going and be careful. There's still some ice on the road over on the west side. I have to, like, avoid it.
That's weird you guys get ice over there. Where I'm at, there's no ice.
There's no ice?
No ice.
You're lucky. That's your look at traffic.
No ice. 338-3700 is our phone number. Good morning.
Hey, it's Cheryl again.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, T-Shirts.
Hey, you have a pug?
I have a pug.
I said, why?
Oh, what color is your pug?
He's a fawn one.
He's a blonde one?
A fawn. The little, you know, brown one.
Mine's black.
Can I ask you a question you should never ask a lady?
Oh, no.
Yes, you may.
How old are you?
Oh, no.
I turned 50 in July. I will be 51.
That's funny. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Bye. We love you.
That's good stuff.
That's the company you've got, Pug Buddy.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Dix. Let's talk Powerball. Let's talk Powerball.
All right, let's do this.
Because, you know, there were, what, three people that won the Powerball?
Mm-hmm.
Three people won the Powerball last night. We didn't win the Powerball.
We did not win the Powerball.
And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
You know, I don't think my lifestyle would change much. I really don't if I had won.
Well.
I would still do
mine
this.
Mine would.
It'd be
mine
amazing.
Would change.
Yeah? Gold teeth?
Yes. I would. I would totally have gold teeth. All right, well.
Keanu Reeves would read me bedtime stories every night before bed, but that's it.
Oh, man. You know what's crazy?
One fish.
One of the winners was in Melbourne Beach.
Really?
That's where Dawn's aunt lives.
What?
Whoa,
you better find out. Oh!
You better find out.
Come on now.
I want Keanu Reeves to read me bedtime stories.
Dawn, call your aunt.
I remember yesterday you told me if you got any money from any Powerball winner, you'd hook me up.
Yeah, no, I said nobody would know it.
That's true.
But after that, you told me off the air that I got
come
you
on,
back, Dex.
Come on.
Remember?
There's no memory
you
of
know
this.
You have a crappy ride when, like, literally everybody has said, bro, if I win, first thing I'm doing, buying you a car. That's what Steven said to me yesterday. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Why don't you take his car? Because you guys pulled up together, and I'm thinking, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we went out there and you know, his Land Rover or whatever, just chilling in the parking lot. He's like, you want to take your car? And I'm like, yeah. let's take my car. Oh, and pray nice we make ride. It the whole time we're on the road.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Okay, this is a game called Yes or No. And we're just going to play
with
Steve-O and Mateo right now.
Hooray.
Things you could buy for $1 billion. Okay, I'm going to throw one out. And then you two have to guess whether or not you think you could buy this for $1 billion. Okay.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. Okay. The first one I'm going to throw out is 2 McDonald's cheeseburgers for every person in America. If you had $1 billion, could you buy 2 McDonald's cheeseburgers for every person in America?
Here's the question. Are they still only 99 cents? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the dollar.
That's not the they're part of like
well,
the. Okay,
there's the double.
So it's like a couple bucks.
The double cheeseburgers on the dollar.
You're talking like a couple bucks for every human in America.
Yeah.
Wait.
I think. I don't know.
What's the population? I'm going to say yes.
I'll say no.
Steve-O is correct. You could. They're a dollar each. And there are about 320 million people in the United States.
There you go.
Boom. So that's 640 million.
It's good. And you could give them all, you know, just diabetes or something like that.
Heart disease, you know.
All right, next one. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? If you had $1 billion, could you buy the Pittsburgh Steelers?
You might not be able to buy them, but you could buy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers easy.
Oh, that's messed up, dude. Come on, man.
Could you buy the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The Steelers make it to the playoffs.
If you had $1 billion.
I say you definitely could.
An NFL team?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm thinking, like with the Tampa Bay comment, I agree. There's probably plenty of teams. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with Teo. Yeah, of course.
No, you could not buy the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Never trust me when it comes to sports. I don't know anything.
Okay. You couldn't buy an NFL team for $1 billion. According to Forbes, the Steelers are worth $1.9 billion.
Wow.
The cheapest would be the Bills at $1.4 billion.
Wow.
And the Cowboys are the most valuable team in sports at $4 billion.
$4
billion? That's America's
team,
man.
For the Cowboys.
Somebody has got to do something about that terrible team. They're worth $4 billion and they're dreadful.
Yep.
Wow.
One more. Here we go.
Okay.
Yes or no? If you had $1 billion, you could buy 100,000 of the most expensive models of the Apple Watch. Apple Watch.
We talked about the Apple Watch. Wasn't the big one like stupid expensive?
It was stupid.
Can I use a calculator? Model. How much was that?
I can't remember. I just remember it being a really dumb price for a watch.
Because it was like gold.
Yeah.
100,000 Apple Watches. 100,000 times... Dude, yes.
I think it was 25.
Yeah.
I think it was 25,000.
25 grand?
Yeah.
Times 100,000 is only like 25,000.
Maybe. Yeah. 25.3 million.
I'm really good at math.
Zero remainder.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say, just for the sake of saying no, I'm going to say no.
Oh, come on.
No, you could not. You could not buy.
Hey, I got it right.
You could not buy.
How much are they?
Yeah, how much were they?
Of the most expensive models of the Apple Watch. The most expensive one is $17,000.
Oh, okay.
So you could only buy about 59,000 of them.
Gosh.
There was an Apple Watch selling for $115,000 last year, but it was customized. It was a customized one with a bunch of diamonds.
A bunch of diamonds.
I thought that watch was the dumbest idea on the planet until I hung out with somebody who actually had one. And then I was like, yeah, maybe they're coming through.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't seen anybody. I haven't seen one person wearing one.
I have no need for it. Like, none need for it. But we were hanging out in New York, and our friend Brandon Thigpen, he has one. Because he works at Apple.
Yeah.
So when they came out, it was like, Apple was trying to sell them, of course. So it's like, hey, we'll give them to you for this much. So he got it on the cheap, and he was rolling around with his Apple Watch. I'm like, that's pretty cool. You look like Dick Tracy.
All right, we have to go to break.
Fine.
Good morning. It is the Morning Invasion.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We're going to take a break and come right back.
We'll be right back.
It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Groovy vibes.
Excited about the show this morning.
It's 9 a.m. Thursday. Rocking it with my crew.
Yeah. Pretty good singer, man.
Hey. You can catch me every Sunday at the Lobo Theater, 11:15 a.m.
That's where you guys go to church, huh?
That is. Worship leader at Calvary Knob Hill. I love Knob Hill, bro.
Mm-hmm. It's got a sweet vibe like this.
Yeah.
Background music.
It's got kind of a hipster vibe.
Well, I mean,
it depends on who you're talking to. If you like that, yes. If you don't, not at all.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Hipster vibe. Gosh.
Knob Hill is a great part of the city. I love Knob Hill.
Yeah.
I love it down there.
I could just spend minutes.
Good
there.
Restaurants.
Yeah. Hey, are you kidding me? You know how expensive it is, though? There's no... That's why I wanted to win the lottery, so I could move to Knob Hill and afford to eat once at their pizza joint. Gosh.
Coming up at 9 a.m., pastor / theologian.
Professor of life, bro. That's mm-hmm. what I call him.
Brian Nixon will be P-O-L. On the show. And he knows everything. Wasn't he in a punk rock band?
Dude, yeah. He would say real deal.
Goth rock band.
Goth rock band.
We started talking mm-hmm. David Bowie off air, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, I chose the wrong conversation.
Oh, man. He just 40 went
minutes
to town.
Later.
Yeah.
Or it was like, well, you know who kicked that off, and you know who did this. And you know, I'm like, man, Thursday's
made me feel really
crazy.
Dumb, too. Yeah. He did. He made me feel really stupid because he was looking right at me when he asked the question, well, do you know?
But he's very kind when making you feel like a complete idiot.
Well, he's not only a theoretical professor, he's an actual professor.
Yeah, yeah.
He taught like some seminary classes.
Yeah.
So, how many books did this guy write?
I don't know how many he's written.
He reads eight a week.
Yeah, he reads like
no
crazy.
Joke. Like 8 books a week.
He's got this method that he tried to explain to me, and I totally just got...
Is he a speed reader?
I just trailed off in my mind.
You know what he reminds me of, honestly? Have you ever seen the BBC series of Sherlock?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got like a mind yes. palace.
He
that's
does.
It.
He's got like yeah. a mind palace and just keeps stuff like.
I thought of that's exactly yeah. what I thought about,
that
guys.
Is what
I
he
love
does.
Sherlock, and when I hear Brian Nixon,
yeah.
I think he has that brain like Sherlock Holmes. Like
Benedict Cumberbatch got his inspiration from Beenix.
Seriously.
So mm-hmm. just so you know,
he's amazing.
Yeah,
he's he'll join us every Thursday, and. We're gonna get real biblical at 9 a.m. I mean, this is a chance for any of you out there who have questions about the Bible to call in, and he will answer it for you.
Skeptics, welcome.
Yes,
for real. Doubters, please join us. I love it. It's always fun, you know, because he's super kind and mm-hmm. just great and loving and very honest.
And he takes a different approach. Like Steve-O said earlier, he's not going to be like, well, the Bible says this and this, and that's why. He doesn't do that.
I think that's my favorite part, because you can have those people, and they're so pious that even when they're right, they're so, so wrong because of the way they handle it.
Yeah. And not even so. The pious people. A lot of times, I think Christians, believers, we just forget that if somebody's not a Christian, they're not operating from a this is truth standpoint.
Right.
They're not going to come at the equation with, I mean, if you got somebody that doesn't believe in the Bible, they're not going to approach a situation with, well, the Bible says this.
Right. And you're like, oh, you mean that book I don't care about exactly. or believe in any way, shape, or form?
But
okay,
Phoenix
cool,
is
but tell
great.
Me how.
He's kind.
Yeah.
He's a good person to talk to. Mm-hmm. So if you're a bit skeptical or a doubter, like we said, please tune in at 9 a.m.
Speaking of doubters. Dexter, this morning I mentioned the fact that I will not wear shoes in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went off on this whole Zen thing that, you know,
yeah.
him and his family.
Well, it was when I lived in Tibet and was raised by these monks, and we just ohmed all the time. And, like, there were no shoes, and life was just peace. Enjoy.
He's completely lying to you because I was at his house, I don't know, about a month ago, and man, the dog was on the couch.
You know what? You make a good point. Because seriously, we have a shoe rack outside, like in the garage. We do not have shoes in the house. And when people come over, it's like, oh, should we take our shoes off? And I go, yeah, bro. Yes.
Yeah, Brody was throwing spaghetti and macaroni and
this
cheese
is
everywhere.
So true. So true. Dog just sleeps on the couch, hair yeah. for days.
It is the complete opposite of what's
going on. Dang it!
Complete opposite.
You can't call me out before I share this breaking news.
Called out.
I have some news for you, my friend.
Let's
if you
it.
Are a human that is like, shoes on in the house, hopefully this will change your mind. Study done by the University of Arizona found an average of 421,000 different bacteria on shoes. This is more than cell phones. We're talking off air about the fact that cell phones have a lot of, like,
yeah.
nasty on them. No, bro.
It's not the worst.
Shoes.
Shoes are the worst?
Shoes. Take your cell phone and quadruple that. You got shoes, bro. Coliforms, a bacterial indicator of the level of sanitation of foods and water, were detected on the bottom of 96% of shoes. By the way, that's universally present in feces. Just saying.
I've heard of that.
In addition, percentage of shoes that had E. coli on them, 27%. I'm just saying. Along with seven other kinds of bacteria that are along the same lines of E. coli. Like Klebsiella pneumoniae.
Right.
I'm a scientist.
You
are. Which can cause urinary tract infection. And Serratiaca ficarianon shamalama ding dong, which can cause respiratory infections.
Is it weird that I don't really care?
Okay, Dexter. We walk through things like bird poo, dog waste, germs on public restroom floors, all of which are sources for E. coli.
But if I can't see it,
E. coli.
I just don't really care. I mean, if I saw a pile of dog poo, mm-hmm. I would care. I
would
walk around it, I avoid it. But
Dex,
if
you
I
cannot
see
the wind, but you know it's there because you feel it.
Come on.
Like the Lord our God.
That sounded really like mocking, and I didn't mean for it to come off that way. Of the Lord. Anyways.
That's just me, though. I know my wife is just like you. She will read things like that, and then she'll go and... family meeting.
Dude.
Family meeting.
Now
E. coli.
She doesn't have to read them anymore.
I'm
she can just
saying,
listen to Steve.
If you don't want to die, take your shoes off outside. This is how like weird I am about germs in this regard. Brody, my three-year-old, he's like potty trained and yay, no diapers. But he needs help still, right? Because he's not necessarily tall enough. We were at LAX and all of a sudden he's like, I got a potty. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like bum rushing him to the bathroom, right? Like I just pick him up
sure. And
I'm racing through LAX. We get to the bathroom. And there's just, as you can imagine, in front of every stall, it's like a puddle. Like,
Ugh. People
just, I don't know if they're just like in a hurry. So they're like, I got to catch my plane. I don't have time
Honestly,
to aim
you know what it
at
is?
Anything.
It's probably younger kids. Probably
five, six,
7 years old.
So it's like you walk in and your feet are already sticking to the floor. And I'm like, LAX, clean your bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm not going to stand him in front of the. Okay, so I like run him to one of the stalls. And they were worse. They were dreadful. So I grabbed the little, I don't know, whatever those things are that you can like put over the little, you know, toilet rim, you know,
seat
thing. I grabbed one of those, put it on the rim of the toilet, and then picked him up and had him stand on the paper on the toilet.
Stand?
Yes! And I'm like, hey, don't ever do this at home. And like held him to help him.
You know,
dude is standing on the toilet bowl.
He's equating all of this. In Brody's mind, this is all part of the fun of Disneyland.
Oh, dude. Oh, I'm just saying, because I was so grossed out. Yeah. I did not want everything I could clearly see on the floor on his shoes.
Oh.
Because kids don't care. And they're touching their shoes. And then they're like putting their feet on you. Because it's so cute. Because they're three. And you're like, you just gave me the HIV. Thanks, bro.
I understand.
I'm a goner.
I get it. I get the whole don't spread germs thing. I understand that there are germs everywhere and we should whatever. But I pulled up a list from the CDC because it's like, okay, if we're going to be that adamant about protecting ourselves from germs.
The CDC, have you watched The Walking Dead? They don't care about us.
I don't think that documentary is real.
Yeah, okay.
But this list, I'm going to tell you guys how to just completely avoid germs and give you a better quality of life.
Oh, because beautiful!
This is what we're dealing with.
Okay.
If we're going to do this whole shoes shenanigans, then we might as well go the whole way.
All right. Help us out.
Good health habits from the CDC.
Mm.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
And you know what? Just you saying that, I'll trust this.
I want you to trust it.
I will.
Steve-O,
that sounds
I want
like
you.
A very trusting.
These guys are jerks.
I just want everybody. This is the lifestyle that Steve-O wants us to have. Okay?
All right.
Number one, avoid close contact.
Yeah?
Avoid close contact with people. Avoid
so
close contact with
hugger.
People who are sick.
Yes,
I'm
you
want
to keep a distance.
You want to keep a distance. You want to kind of put some, not necessarily physical walls, but emotional walls.
Mm.
Just wall yourself off from everybody around.
Okay.
Number two, stay home when you're sick.
Yes!
If possible, stay home from work, school, and errands.
This is not me, actually.
We're going to quarantine ourselves.
Yes.
Both emotionally and now physically. Okay?
Is it okay to wear a hazmat suit to work?
Well, number three is cover your mouth and nose.
Only
so
if
yeah.
you're Walter White. Then you wear the yellow suit.
Number four, clean your hands.
Yes, dude!
Okay. Clean them.
Number
Brody,
five.
You got it, but you got to do the ABCs, like all of them, okay? Mm-hmm. You
can't or sing Happy Birthday.
Wash and go? Yes.
Yes.
I got not time for that. I mean,
hang on.
It takes 20 seconds,
we're
dude.
We're not done with it. We're not done with it. Okay. Number five, avoid touching your eyes, nose, or your mouth. So not only do you have to avoid close contact with other people, but you can't even, like, touch your nose.
I feel like if I was to do this, I would turn into one of those. Well, I would turn into Steve-O.
Right. Number six, clean and disinfect surfaces or objects. So basically, wall yourself off from everything and make sure anything that you could possibly accidentally come in contact with is clean.
Which is hilarious because that's literally the opposite of what I do. I take my shoes off in the house. However, I'm the huggiest, like, friendliest dude. Pick my nose on the huge and put it on you as I'm hugging you.
Wait.
By the way, I left a little present on your right shoulder.
That's a trap.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's a trap.
So what I'm saying is, we can get all up in a tizzy about this fecal matter on your shoes, but if you're going to go for it, you have to go for it. You have to completely shut yourself off from all germs,
guys,
which means
E-coli.
You're bubble boy. Welcome to your new life.
Right. Yeah. That's my thoughts after hearing what you have to do to keep yourself safe from germs.
I'm
going to
outlive you both.
That's ridiculous.
Or you could do what I've done my whole life because I grew up in Mississippi. You just... Live with it. You build immunities.
You got immunities.
I was just going to say that. I feel like I have built up a strong immunity because I don't wash my hands regularly. I don't... I'm not a germ
You're
freak.
A nasty person.
I'm
gonna,
a nasty
but
person.
You're
going to
live
okay.
longer.
I probably will.
I'm going to totally, like, shoot my theory in the face here because... Okay.
I know what you're going to say.
No. Like Disneyland, right?
Okay.
Germs for days.
Yes.
Okay?
Oh, no.
But everything is so expensive.
It is.
So Chrissy, she grabs... There's now Starbucks inside Disneyland. Did you know this? There's the actual Starbucks, right? So we're like... I am quite like I am now, hungry. Haven't had breakfast, right? So she orders some coffees. She gets some cinnamon rolls. As she's walking out, you know, baby, Brody's with her, like everything. And the cinnamon roll goes off the plate and goes face down on the pavement outside at Disneyland.
Oh, boom. Good.
And she goes, and she was like so upset. She pulls it off. And I'm like, whatever, dude. There was like a layer of like cream on the top.
Of glorious icing.
Yeah, the icing totally padded. Look, the icing's still on the pavement. You pulled it off, and it's totally good. And she's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, no, that was $5.
You would have eaten that.
I did.
What?
I did.
Oh, God. That's
and
so
she goes,
weird.
You need to go back inside and ask for another one. That's disgusting.
But
I said,
just,
no, watch.
Through this whole
watch,
thing.
Guys. Watch. And I took a big old bite. See? No bigs. I'm still alive.
So it was because you spent $5.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Money is more important than living.
Can I just tell you, man, you got to remember in these situations that you're in Disneyland.
I know. Yeah. No,
they would have replaced it.
I took a couple bites, and then when it felt like I was eating sand, I went back inside and said, hey, this fell on the ground. They're like, oh, no problem. And they grabbed it, threw it away, gave me another brand new one. I was like, oh.
That's one of the best things about it. The reason they do that is because there are so many kids walking around. Kids drop everything.
Yeah.
They're like, here, hold your sap. It's on the floor.
Well, so I take my shoes off, but I'll eat the cinnamon roll that dumped upside down.
This is my thought, and I don't know, Matt, you could probably back me up on this.
I got
Steve-O,
you, man.
Steve-O just, you know, he kind of threw out this list and, you know, made himself sound like he was this big germaphobe, which I guess he kind of is, but then I don't know if he is now because
I shower a solid
roll.
Once a week.
But okay.
Germaphobe.
but with Steve-O, this is what I've known, because I've known Steve-O for about 10 years now.
Yep.
He gets sick a lot.
Oh, what?
He does.
But
no,
this is why
I do
he
not.
Yes you
he
do.
Does.
This is why he gets sick a lot. Number 1, I never get sick.
I hardly get sick either.
Okay.
Number 2, he gets sick because he doesn't sleep, he doesn't eat, and he never exercises.
This is
That's why he gets sick.
Yeah.
But when
he
does eat, he eats a Coca-Cola or a cinnamon bun that he picked off the ground.
And I eat a solid once a day. Yeah. So my schedule's amazing. I have about a 5-hour sleep cycle.
You need to stop doing the ABCs when you wash your hands. That's going to help your immune system.
See,
that's, stop doing that.
We pick our battles, and that's the one he's chosen to pick. He's like, no, this is how
your
I know.
Your immune system is awful.
Hey, but the good news is when I am sick, I still come to work.
You
am
do.
I right, and CDC?
That's why I brought this up, because I used to listen to you guys while I was prepping during for my show.
Yeah.
And he would come in, you guys would start your first break, and Steven would always be, I can't talk.
Yeah.
I'm dying. Yeah.
Clearly sick.
Yeah. And that happened every week.
Yeah. You guys, if this is the way the show is going to go, I'm going to hate my life.
Now, we're trying to fix it.
I didn't realize you guys were going to just tag team.
I'm sorry.
It's the morning intervention.
Intervention? Oh, intervention?
Cool, bro.
Intervention?
It's the morning invasion of my life. Thanks.
We're trying to help you, man. No, we're trying to help you.
Hey, okay. We love you.
Yeah. Okay.
Trying to help you realize that there's a better quality of life waiting for you.
Okay.
It goes beyond taking your shoes off or washing your hands for 20 seconds.
Hey, why don't
it
you come over here and take a seat?
Sleep.
No, I just, you know.
Come on, come over here and take a seat.
No, I just.
See that cushion right there?
Let's sit down. Okay.
Let's talk.
Yeah. See all these people here?
Yeah.
They all love you.
Let's hear your story.
Guys, look, ain't nobody got time for that.
Can I read my letter?
Please do.
I wrote this letter for you, Steve-O.
Amazing. I thought I was going to school you on taking your shoes off in the house.
Not at all.
And it turned into like this big old intervention
because
of germs.
You completely contradict yourself.
Yeah. I'm this a walking reminds contradiction.
Me. It reminds me of a story that Dex found.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is, metaphorically, this is what is happening to you right now. Because in a literal sense, in Oklahoma City, two strangers saved a guy sleeping in a dumpster when it caught on fire.
Oh, whoa! Yes.
And we are coming to you during the time of your metaphorical dumpster fire. We're trying to take you out of there. We're like,
I would
hey,
never sleep in a fire
hey,
or in a
stinky
dumpster.
Stinky friend. Hey,
so many germs.
Pigpen from Peanuts. Get out of there. You don't need that dust cloud. You can get like to a better place.
Man. What?
This really did happen.
Yeah, go for it. Read it.
A guy in Oklahoma City was sleeping in a dumpster Monday night. Nobody's really sure why. I'm sure he was, you know, either inebriated or he was homeless.
Yeah.
But the dumpster was next to a convenience store, and it caught on fire.
Wow.
Okay, so this
The building is on fire.
And not just like there's a corner of it. The entire thing was on fire.
It's a dumpster. How big could it be? Of course the whole thing caught fire. Sorry.
Have you seen dumpsters before? Yeah, huge.
Yeah, but not that huge.
They are huge.
And it's filled with trash and flammables.
Oh, man. you're bringing flammables?
Yeah, you know.
Anyway, they pulled the guy out. They heard him yelling. I guess he was trapped, couldn't get out. And so two strangers pulled him out. And here's the weird part of it. His name was Blaze Jones.
Oh, Blaze Jones?
No wonder it caught fire.
That's what it says.
Let's hear from Blaze Jones. Here he is talking about pulling a sleeping guy out of a burning dumpster.
Seen the trash can on fire and went inside.
He ran across the street to pull him out.
Yeah, seen the dude. Well, the trash can was on fire.
He couldn't hop out of it.
And went inside to tell the dude, and it was somebody yelling.
That's
so
YouTube.
So came outside, and the dude was like half asleep.
Coming to my rescue.
Whatever the case was, so we pulled him out the trash can.
Blaze Jones.
So the guy's recovering, but he does have significant burns on one of his legs. And Steve-O, you've got significant burns, my friend.
Yeah.
You get sick all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
There's probably a sickness that's going to happen to you in the next 24 hours.
The good news is there's multiple guys here now, so I can just take that time I need. That time of rest.
That's true. I'm not a wizard. I'm not a witch.
In fact, I feel a little tickle in the back of my throat.
But I'm telling you, you're going
to
get
sick.
Take
a week or two off.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to throw out this question. We want you guys to be a part of it. 338-3700. Would you split your bill and room with a complete stranger?
What?
If you rented a hotel room, would you stay with a complete stranger if it meant you're only paying half of the bill?
I had a cinnamon roll off the ground. It was $5.
You'll
of course
do
I
anything.
Would. How many strangers can we fit in this room?
All right, we're going to talk about it when we come back. Hang on.
We got to take a break, but fear not. The Morning Invasion will be right back. It's time for the Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the sound.
It's magic.
On Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Powerball drawing at $1.5 billion.
Former NFL running back Lawrence Phillips is found dead in his California prison cell.
Ted Cruz has picked up a celebrity endorser, Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson.
Stock prices took another big drop.
Sailors detained by Iran are now free.
Bill Cosby won't have to be deposed next month, federal judge agreeing to hold off on that deposition.
President Obama hit the road. First stop, Omaha.
In Flint, Michigan, they're telling people to beware of scammers selling water filters because those are part of what the National Guard and others are distributing for free to deal with the water crisis there.
A French police official says an avalanche struck a school group skiing in the Alps.
General Electric is moving its world headquarters from Fairfield, Connecticut to Boston.
Commando Force has arrived in Iraq to help in the fight against ISIS.
Less than 3 years after launching, the cable network Al Jazeera America is shutting down.
The Treasury Department's announced new rules aimed at preventing money laundering, cracking down on secretive purchases of high-end real estate.
Good morning. It is Thursday.
Also, Alan Rickman died.
Okay. It's really breaking news. It just happened.
It is very sad.
One of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he was good in Die Hard. He was good in the Harry Potters.
Galaxy Quest. Robin Hood.
Prince
you mentioned Love Actually.
Yeah. Passed away at 69. Cancer.
Dogma. What's up with 69 and cancer? David Bowie, same thing.
Yeah. What kind of cancer did he have?
The bad kind that kills you.
The same kind as
I don't know.
As Bowie?
I don't know. I started to read the article and got so weepy I couldn't get through it.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, don't worry about it. I don't want to. You know what? We need to bring up. We need to do something good. Okay. We need to bring up the energy.
Yes.
Bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want me to do it?
Yes, Mateo. Bring it up.
Okay.
Bring it up.
Where are you going and what do you want? We got energy for you. That's what you want. Don't play a laugh track for
I'm
me.
Sorry.
Allegedly,
I don't need
some
that.
People
that
won
me.
A bunch of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Power
good
ball.
News for three people, yeah. Including one in, you know, Orange County because they need money.
I bet you the.
Ben McKenzie.
I bet you all three of them are upset that
there
they have
go.
To split it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I have to split it with two other people.
If you're one of the three people that won $1.6 billion. And you were bummed that you had to split it, you're
I'd
like,
be
what?
Hey.
What? I'm only going to say, like, $400 million.
Who are these peasants I have to split my money with?
Hey, I don't even want it.
That just reminded me. The funniest thing that Dex has ever said to me. Back when you were working on The Edge,
mm-hmm.
I had an iPhone 5S. And then you had just gotten the 6.
Oh.
And then I texted you and I said, because you had an Android and then it switched to an iPhone. And I texted you and I was like, hey, the bubble's blue. And then I said, yeah. Or you said, yeah, I got an iPhone. And I was like, cool. Which one did you get? And you said, I got an iPhone 6. I'm not some peasant. And then I was like, I'm a peasant.
And then I think I said, I think, you know, honestly, I probably shouldn't be talking to you anymore. So please, if
he
you
did.
Could stop texting me.
Yeah, my bad. I just used email. I used LinkedIn from then on out.
Oh, man. Man.
Oh.
Well, good morning to you.
Welcome.
It is the Morning Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Dex, Steve-O, Mateo.
Yeesh.
It's Think About It Thursday, and we have a good Think About It Thursday question we want to throw out there.
Yeah, we do.
Phone lines are open at 505-338-3700. We'd like you to weigh in and tell us what you think about this.
Yes. Okay, so there's a marketing guy in Seattle. He's kind of taken the idea of Airbnb, which is... Airbnb is a really revolutionary idea. I wish that it kind of would have been around when we started touring back in the
right?
day. Because you totally... People can turn like a room in their house into a place.
Basement.
Yeah, basically a hotel room.
Yeah.
So you just Airbnb it. But we've also heard horror stories. Some couples have Airbnb'd their house, gone away for the weekend, come home, and their house has been completely destroyed.
Yeah.
There was one story, I can't remember where it happened, but they Airbnb'd to this dude that was totally, like, he checked out, he was legit, he was in, like, his 40s, and while the couple was gone, he had, like, he had a party that you would see in a 90s teen movie. You know what I'm saying?
And can't hardly wait?
You can't hardly wait.
Was Jennifer Love Hewitt there?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, man.
Like one of those parties.
Okay.
Where we're in the audience going, man, those are what parties are like. But then in real life, it's like, parties are never like
that.
Never, ever.
But this guy threw one of those. I mean, they, like, part of the house was destroyed. There were drugs everywhere.
Oh, man.
things were on fire.
Yeah.
And of course, he got arrested. And the couple comes home and they're like, but he checked out.
Yeah.
So that's an Airbnb horror story. Well, this Seattle marketing guy, he's calling it, I don't even know what he's calling it, but his name's Brian Shannon. I guess it's the Winston Club. He created a website. So if you're a traveler, maybe you're visiting this place and the hotel room's a little too costly.
Yeah.
You can split your hotel room with a complete stranger.
Which, that sounds really creepy and weird.
But because, yeah.
At the same time, you're splitting your bill. So it also sounds pretty cost effective.
I would imagine that most married couples, the husband most likely, because let's face it, we're usually the ones who are very cheap and we're all about,
oh, yeah.
We're all about, okay, family.
Saving some cash.
We're going to save some money, so yep. We're going to stay with a stranger at this hotel room and get half off our bill, and then the wife's going to be like, ain't happening.
Not happening,
no,
friend.
No, it's not.
See, if my wife and I were going on vacation somewhere, I'd actually be up for that. If my kids were there, it'd be really creepy. Strangers with my children, no thank you. But if
you could teach them a lot.
I feel like if we were
life
going somewhere,
lessons.
Let's say, for instance, we decided we wanted to go to San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
And we wanted it to be on the cheap.
Yeah.
You guys don't think we would be willing to split a room with a stranger?
Man, I can tell you right now, I had so much weird stuff happen to me when I was on tour, this doesn't even faze me. Split a room with a stranger.
Hey, guy on the couch. Cool.
That's
70 bucks
nothing.
A night? Yeah, I'll
we
do
had
it.
Some weird experiences.
I did.
Like, staying, because sometimes we'd go. Now, Waverly was primarily a Christian band. So a lot of times, churches, we'd come in and play for the youth or whatever and be glorified babysitters, which was awesome. I say that with the thickest sarcasm I can apply.
But the lasagna was great, am I right?
Like, lasagna or pizza. What are you having tonight? Pizza.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, we stayed. They would put us up in houses, and I remember one time especially, we kept driving and kept driving. And this was in, like, Oklahoma or one of the plains states, and we were making our way out into, like,
the hills have
the
eyes.
Plains.
Yeah.
And we kept driving, and then we showed up at this house, and it was terrifying. There was a well in the kitchen.
Okay.
A That's covered well. And
like
this was,
in Silence of the Lambs?
Like in The Ring, you know, which was just heavy on our minds.
Yeah. Right?
Here was the scariest thing. I am not lying. I'm telling you honestly. There was a horse in the backyard that kept bumping into the door.
Okay.
Really, like,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And we were like, what is wrong with the horse?
But you saved a lot of money on your stay, am I right?
Oh, it was free. But
yeah. Did you stay with the people in the
yes.
house?
Yes. And
what
was,
were they like?
That
were
was
they
the weirdest
normal?
Thing. No.
Dude, I would stay anywhere for free. I'm telling you, if they were like, bro, it's free. I'm like, cool, man. I got you.
Well, it was just because normally when places bring you into play, they're like, we set you up here. They're going to kind of leave you on your own, but, you know, there's a guest house. Be careful. Don't. And we're like, yeah. So we were not going in there to party or have any kind of.
Right.
Throwdown or whatever. But this certain time, I remember this weird guy just came with us, and he wasn't even, it wasn't his house. He wasn't affiliated
he
with the people
fan.
That lived there. He just came with us, and he was kind of like our babysitter.
He was the handler.
He stayed there.
Weird.
He stayed there, and none of us could sleep. We were all like, who is this guy? Because none of us had met him.
And the people that own the
so
house.
So could you do
know?
It? Would you
they
split
weren't there.
It? Would you split a bill?
I would do it.
Okay.
Like I'm saying, like it's happened before. I've
right.
lived through it.
Dude.
What you don't want to do is split a room with somebody from the Manitowoc Sheriff's Department.
Right.
Manitowoc yes. County. Because then yeah. you're going to wake up and they're going to be like, oh,
we
hey,
found
there's,
this key.
There's a key over there.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man.
338-3700. Phone line's open. Would you split your bill, your hotel room bill, if it meant you had to stay with a complete stranger? Good morning. You there?
Hello?
Oh,
we lost
Sorry
him.
About that. Phone line's open, 338-3700.
Oh. That's 338-3700. Huh? What?
He already told you.
Okay, I'm
thank
just...
you, Mateo.
So here's the thing. Yeah. Winston Club is the name of it. Although saving money is the primary goal of club members, which it's free to sign up for the club. Totally free. He said many members joined to make friends or meet new travel companions.
See?
Because business travel is one of the loneliest things.
I got too many friends. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, Sup? Friend.
Dex, how we doing, man?
Hey,
you doing all right?
How you doing, buddy? Is this Rob?
Well, yeah, this is Rob. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Good to
I'm
hear
good,
your voice.
Man. Thanks. Hey. Hi.
Hey, you guys, man, you guys are all right.
So Rob's been calling us for a few years now, and he Are you still a garbage truck driver, or you're in the office now, right?
I'm in a different capacity now. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. It's called sanitation specialist.
Yes. Nice. I majored in garbology.
Yes, garbology. Oh, garbology. Man.
Love it. Perfect.
We would love when he'd call, because he would be in his truck, you know, picking up people's garbage, and you could hear him picking it up while he was on the phone. Hold on a second.
But I feel like you will always have a job, because there will always be trash. Yes. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
That's a great line of work, bro.
Exactly. Keep throwing things away, man. Hey, you know what? I just wanted to chime in. Dex, you know I had to call. Super stoked here on 88.3. These guys are awesome, man.
Thanks.
I found the station about a week or two ago. It's awesome, man. I'm super glad you're back on the radio. Many prayers, many blessings out to you and the crew over there.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, man.
Hey, you got it. Take care, guys.
All right. 338-3700. Good morning.
Morning, boys. This is Rambaldi.
Rambaldi. What do you think, man? Would you split the hotel bill with a complete stranger?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah. Simple, man. He'd take the pink Subaru, and then it would be good to go.
Lots of context to this that I don't understand.
I'm sorry, Ron Paulie, but all I can think about is the person that has to split the room with you.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for him, because all he's going to hear about is the Subaru this,
the pink Subaru
that.
Yes.
I mean, and the guy would be like, okay, I'm out. I don't know why these knuckleheads put me with this guy.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Subies
Ron
for
Paulie.
Life, brah.
Yes. There, guys.
Steve-O's got a pink Subaru, too.
Stop it right now.
You know what?
It's like
it
almost
was
there.
Red in '99, bro.
The paint
okay?
has faded.
We live in the desert where the sun just bakes the paint.
Hey, man, it's a
it
slow
used
fade.
To be red.
Slow fade.
338-3700. We're asking you, would you split your hotel bill with a stranger? If you could split that bill in two...
But you got a room with the stranger.
I'm trying to think of the hotel room.
Thunder Buddy
size.
For life.
Is it a regular average hotel room, you know, with two beds? It
better not be.
Well, here's the thing. If you're talking about
one
splitting
bed.
A room with a stranger and you're wanting to keep it cost effective, one queen will do you. Am I right?
No.
I'm just saying that's going
to
be the cheapest.
Two king size.
But that's going to, why would you split it? Because then, in essence, you're driving it up because you have to get a bigger room so that you can quote unquote split it with somebody else.
Yeah, sometimes you get a better deal on those rooms.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, man.
Hey, this is Nick. What's
hey,
up, Mateo?
Hey!
What's up, man?
Hey, Steve-O.
Hey,
hi,
buddy.
Dex.
Hi.
Good to meet you, buddy.
Hey, nice to meet you too, Nick.
Right on. I feel like if you're the one that's saying yes to being able to split this room, you're the one people should be afraid of.
You're the creepy one?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Solid point.
Yeah.
I'm creepy.
And that because I kind of know Steve-O, so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
where I kind of drew that conclusion.
Truth, my friend. Come on. Yeah. You wouldn't split a room with me if it meant saving some cash on
no.
on your hotel bill. Come on, man.
Absolutely not.
Stick
I'm
very cleanly. I'll take my shoes off at the door.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have
Thanks,
a good morning.
All right,
later,
man,
buddy.
Later. I almost feel like they should set something up. This company should set something up where people could go on and fill out an application. Other people can go and
okay.
review
okay,
the
Okay, that's starting
you
to
can.
Sound like a dating service.
No, no, no.
Are you kidding me? That,
check it out.
That's illegal in most states, I'm sure.
Joining the club is free. You get to accept or reject the roommate that the club chooses for you based on biographical information provided by club members.
So they'll email you probably.
But you could sign up for the club and lie about it.
That's what
everything.
I was going to say. How many people do we know that have signed up for like online dating services? It's like, oh, but this is Christian Mingle, so they're going to totally be just
know,
like
Steve-O.
Their profile.
How many people do
I'm
we
just
know?
Saying.
Tell us.
I never did that. Are you kidding me?
I'm not saying that that's what you just said, because it is, but that's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
People can lie about their profile,
oh,
guys.
Oh, you totally
all right?
can.
Yeah. You never. I wouldn't trust that. You just got to go for it. If you're going to room with a stranger to split a bill, you just go for it.
We need a business professional to call in. We need somebody who actually has to travel for business alone all the time. I want to know if this is a real thing.
Let's take it to the next level. Okay. How about this? Next level question, all right? Forget splitting the room with the stranger. Let's say you were like we were going to, all right, we're going to San Diego.
Okay.
Would you guys be willing to split the car ride if it meant splitting gas? Not with us, with complete strangers. You're stuck in a car for 15 hours with this person. You've never met him, but they're gonna split the gas with you.
So we're traveling from Albuquerque to San Diego
with some complete strangers. Would you split the gas because
Can
you got
I
more
tell
people
you
in the
another
car?
Tour story? Because yeah,
I'm just saying. if we're talking about splitting a vacation cost, gas is crazy. So hey, why not grab a couple strangers?
That one, because that's a good day's drive,
right?
You know, and
but we're also talking about a good night's sleep.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, you're already going to be splitting a room with a stranger. Would you be willing to split the car ride? It's 12 hours. I mean, I've never picked up a hitchhiker ever in my life before. And those guys, they don't split the gas bill. You get gas money out of this one, man. You know?
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey. Morning.
This is Tom in San Diego. Listen to you guys from San Diego.
Yes! Tom! Perfect. We're going to go visit you. Will you split a room with us?
Come on out. Let's do it.
Yeah!
Hey, you know what? It's funny that you called in because, you know, I've known Tom for a few years now. And when we stayed at your mom's house, we knew each other, but we weren't like, we didn't really know each other all that well, right?
Like, biblically?
I mean, we were friends, but, you know, he wasn't a stranger, but I'd never met his family before. So
okay.
We went out to San Diego years back, and he said, why don't you go ahead and stay at my mom's house? Sure. Okay. That's great. We go. We had the best time. I mean, he's got this ranch-style house with a swimming pool. His mom was the most amazing woman ever, and they didn't charge us.
See?
It was free, and it was the best time ever.
Stories for days.
If we would have went and it would have turned into House of Horrors,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, man, it could have really been
But you
been
still
awful.
Would have had a great story at the end of the day. I just think about great radio. I'm like, this is worth it for radio stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done the whole travel for work thing, and I own a security company, so I do a lot of executive protection stuff, and I've brought drivers along with me, and we started out splitting rooms. But one of my good friends, and actually Dex, you met him. We went to dinner once. My buddy Jason.
Oh yeah.
And the guy snores, and it was miserable.
Oh,
I mean,
to the
point.
Worst.
So that would be terrible if you're splitting a room with somebody. And the guy you're splitting the room with snores. I mean, saws logs. I mean, what if
you're splitting a room with that person until death do you part? What do you do then, Chrissy?
That's called earplugs.
It's called earplugs.
Exactly.
I can't believe you just called your wife out.
I'm just, you know. Really? You can't? How long have you known me? You really can't?
No,
she's
really
really loud?
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre in there. She is sawing logs with the biggest chainsaw you've ever seen in your life. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely.
I guess Steve-O's going to be staying at my house again.
Yeah, good news. I'm going to be splitting room with Matt now.
He's splitting room with Beans.
Be great.
Thanks, Tom.
So we got an email that I've got to read. Our boy Chris Bawadaba.
Out in Austria.
From Austria.
Okay.
He said, this was the subject, guys. Okay, ..
Yeah.
We stayed in a hostel in Germany.
Hostel, yes.
Near Lindau. And they put us in a room for six. Well, that is the room we booked. We figured that if the room was for six people and we were a family of five, they would not put a sixth person in the room.
Oh, man.
Who would want to stay in that room? A single large room with bunk beds. With three kids. Well, the policy was not clear on the website, and they did book a sixth person.
No way!
For three nights, they had a stranger come in very late in the evening, crawl into one of the beds, and sleep there in the room with
us. No, okay, see, that's... He just changed the game. He real-lifed it, and now it's weird.
He says, thankfully, God be praised. Amen. For three nights, there were two different women. They were not strange, drunk, or otherwise unkind. And while it was super awkward in the morning, trying to be quiet and get ready to leave, etc., one morning, having to wait for the bathroom while the stranger was in there.
See, I'm just...
All of this caused significant stress, but in the end, it was okay. Tip for next time, if they have six beds, book all of them, because you don't want a stranger. Good.
Dude,
good
I'm so
email.
Glad that email went well, because when you said there were two different women, I thought, in addition to the random dude. So
oh,
I was
no,
like,
no, no.
Oh, no, that's... No, no. You can't... No. Gosh!
All right, we have to go to break.
Think about it, Thursday!
Man, we got another big think about it question coming up after 8 o'clock. 9 a.m., we have theologian / pastor Brian Nixon.
Professor of life.
Yes, he'll be joining us in studio to answer all of your questions about the Bible.
But more so about David Bowie.
That's true. We're going to talk some David Bowie after 9
we
o'clock.
Are.
Hang out with us.
Invasion on Star 88.
Your attention, please.
We'll be right back.
It's time for the Morning Invasion.
I love those guys.
On Star 88.
I love you too.
Thanks, man.
Love all you.
Mostly just me.
It is 8:08 on this Thursday. Good morning. Morning Invasion. We got that podcast. You guys can go to star88.fm. Go to the Morning Invasion page, and the last two shows are up. Minus the music. It's just all talk. It's like a little over two hours each show.
That's crazy, man.
Just babbling, talking
That's
about
crazy.
Crazy. So go to our podcast. It should be up on iTunes. Maybe it's up there now. I don't know. But you can check it out. It'll be through there. 9 a.m., Pastor Brian Nixon will be joining us. The smartest man I've ever met in my entire life. He's on another level, a completely other level than us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Professor of life.
One of the nicest, coolest guys I've ever met, and he knows a few things.
Only slightly condescending. To Steve-O.
No, he's really incredible.
He's a great dude.
Is.
One of the best.
So if you are new to this show, maybe you have some questions about the Bible.
Just about faith in general.
Yeah, your faith. Being a Christian, what does that mean? What is it? Why is the Old Testament different than the New Testament? People ask me that all the time. Why is the
God of the Old Testament like kind of terrifying and murdering and crazy?
Well, Brian, he could answer that for you. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, whatever that is. 9 a.m. We're going to kick off the show. You guys can call in at 338-3700, or you can email us.
Yeah, you can get your questions in now if you don't want to wait. Studio at star88.fm. And I'll tell you, if you email right now, we usually stack up the queue with those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're – dude, I love it. Skeptics, please, please, because it's always fun to be able to answer those. And, you know, we believe the Bible's got an answer for everything, so – Beenix is the guy to actually answer that. Yeah. There are a lot of times where I go, that's a good question, bro. Brian?
No, and that's the thing. You know, if you are atheist, agnostic, whatever it is, maybe you have a completely different religion.
Maybe you grew up in the church and you just got straight burned
and
you can't handle it.
Yeah.
We're with you, bro.
Call
we would
in.
Love to hear from you.
Email us. Let us know. Even if you don't want to be on the air.
Breakfast burrito.
If you don't want the email to go over the air, whatever it is, you can always email us. Just tell us, hey, I don't want you guys to talk about this on the air. We'll talk to you off the air.
Yeah.
We're all about that.
Or keep you anonymous.
That's exactly. Sweet, Dex.
Yeah, I'm
you
all about that.
You guys are sweet.
You know.
We'll do it. So that's coming up at 9 a.m. Think About It Thursday with Brian Nixon.
Speaking about things, my bad. My bad.
Traffic.
My bad. My bad.
I just knew you couldn't keep your
it's our
shut.
Third show ever. Didn't realize you were going to hit that traffic button.
Here's your traffic update.
Tail.
Gosh.
I hope that happens a lot.
Speaking of, I'll shut up.
Accident at Paseo del Norte East and Coors Boulevard Northwest. Also, a lot of congestion if you're hopping on 25 South off of Paseo. Look out for that. And it looks like we've got an accident at Coors Boulevard and Hanover Road. Happened about 39 minutes ago. There's also construction spread throughout the city, so look out for that stuff. Be careful. Let's look at traffic.
Before we jump into our next Think About It question, we're going to throw down some news.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Potato's got some news.
Calling on me?
Yep.
Alan Rickman died!
What I'm going to need is a news intro, because
I want this to be set apart. Oh, hold on.
Do this one.
Oh, no, I screwed it all up.
Dex is a professional.
There it is.
May have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
Perfect. Big news. Yeah. A 16-year-old Taos girl missing since January 4th returned home on Wednesday.
Nice.
And is safe, according to the New Mexico State Police. Demetria Maestas had last been seen at the Rail Runner Station in Bernalillo. It was supposed to be heading home towards Taos. And that's all the information we got.
That's
but anyway,
great.
She
that's
is like,
I was at Bonnaroo, brah, Taos. I was following Mumford on the road.
Wow.
No?
Big news this week was the death of David Bowie.
Yeah.
And, of course, Alan Rickman today. But David Bowie's family will miss him, but financially they're going to be okay because he left them about $197 million.
That's the wrong button, too.
Whoa!
That's right.
Say that again, how much?
$197 million.
Okay.
One way he built this fortune was by selling what became known as Bowie bonds. I don't know. In 1997, Bowie basically sold off 10 years worth of royalties for his first 25 albums.
What?
First 25 albums in exchange for $55 million up front. Yes, it's definitely more complicated than that, and I don't understand any financial stuff. I get royalty stuff, but I have no idea how he made this work.
But the extra value mill said $4.99. Why are you charging me $5.37?
You guys don't have Waverly bonds?
Yeah, we do. They're worth nothing. It's just a concept at this point.
Okay. It was Waverly bondage.
Yeah.
They owed money.
I don't even know if we paid off. If we recouped. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was a revolutionary concept at the time. A few other artists copied it, but nobody does that anymore because music sales are so much lower than they were back then.
Wow.
Because of Spotify and all these other things out there, right?
Yeesh, yeesh.
Why should you stick with good old-fashioned radio?
Oh, Napster.
Just stay with us.
Yeah, that's right. FM dial.
We love artists. We won't totally hose them. Spotify.
Unless you work here. In other New Mexico news, New Mexico lawmakers will consider a first-time tax on e-cigarettes.
Good!
Along with increased levels or levies on cigarettes and chewing tobacco. It's a proposal for a 66% tax on e-cigarettes.
Wow.
It was introduced Wednesday by Democratic State Senator Howie Morales of Silver City. Steve-O, your mom's from Silver City.
She is from Silver City.
Taxes on conventional cigarettes would increase by $1 to $2.66, and all that. That's a pretty hefty tax right there, don't you think? Several states are examining tax structures that account for the growing popularity of e-cigarettes and other alternative tobacco products.
Beautiful. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing... I'm excited to ask Buck when he comes in tomorrow, is if he has given up his e-cig, because...
I hope so, because if it smells like cotton candy in this room, I am out.
It was 1 year ago. It was last January 2015. We were on the air, and he put it in his calendar. I had him put it in his calendar. It was December, like, the 12th or something. Hmm. We made a promise. He made a promise to me and everybody that he would be off of his e-cigarette by sometime in December. He promised. I have not followed through to ask him if he is done with that.
Such a good friend.
Made him promise. We stamped it in blood on this day. It's been about a month. I haven't hit him up yet.
I got notified on my phone saying today's the day that Buck needs to be done, and I didn't text him.
It takes like you were already staring at the little contraption that you used to hit him up
and
with.
I didn't.
Gosh,
I didn't. So we need to find out if he's done with that thing.
Friendship.
I'm proud of the guy because he smoked for years and then he went to the e-cig and, man, he smelled a lot better after that.
Well, it smells like it's weird. You walk into Candyland all of a sudden.
What's wrong with that?
No, I hate it. I can't. You see kids at like eight, you go into H&M and all the little hipster kids are like, yeah, bro, check out my vape.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't get it at all.
The vape thing.
It's dumb. You've got this giant, like, old school Nintendo looking box that you're sucking on. Yeah. It's weird, man.
Well, yeah, if it truly is better than cigarettes, then I'm okay with it if it's a transition.
But, yeah, okay.
It
there
has
you go,
to be a transition.
I was going to say, you know what's better than all of that? Not
right.
doing
Because the problem is with people that do e-cigarettes is that they end up smoking more.
Yeah. Right.
Because they can do it. Almost anywhere.
Yeah. And before anybody judges and says, oh, bro, look at this guy talking about it. I smoked for a solid decade, actually. And I just had to kick it cold turkey. I couldn't do the – back then there were no e-cig. It was like Nicorette gum. You know, I'm like, that's stupid.
Did you have the patch?
No, dude. Cold turkey. That's the way I had to roll. And it was like, I'm trusting this is going to work out. My wife and I both, our wedding gift to each other back in the day, it was like, all right, I quit, you quit. Never look back. Period, the end. And both of us to this day.
That's awesome.
That's amazing because most people can't do that.
Commitment. You can.
You can,
but
most people don't.
You absolutely can. You just don't. And you start making an excuse like, oh, but dude, withdrawals, bro. I'll give you like 72 hours worth of withdrawals, and after that, you're just selfish.
Yeah.
I said it, guys. I said it.
All right.
How could you say that? Yeah, that's all I got for right now.
Because I did it. I walked those shoes.
He walked those shoes.
I walked a mile in those shoes.
Think about it, Thursday.
And I left him at the door.
Phone line's open at 338-3700. That's 338-3700. And Mateo, Steve-O just reminded me of something.
What?
We're going to switch
the think about it Thursday question.
We're not going to do that one. We're gonna do this other one.
Well, considering we were just talking about it,
exactly.
I thought... Yeah. Why not second to this?
We were just talking about e-cigarettes.
One of my favorite things coupled with my least favorite thing.
Okay.
And my family and I, we went and saw Star Wars.
Oh, man.
We went and saw The Force Awakens. And we were so excited. We were so pumped. We get to the theater. I mean, we spent so much money on popcorn, and two large sodas. We tell the kids, you get any candy you want, you go for it. We get to our seats. And the person behind us is blowing e-cig vape on us. I mean,
gosh.
It was flowing over the chairs.
Yeah. Dude, I have a Darth Vader tattoo, right? Like, I would consider myself like one of those dumb, nerdy, crazy Star Wars, biggest Star Wars fan. If that was happening in my first experience of The Force Awakens, oh, dude.
So think about it. What do you do in that situation? I'll tell you guys how we handled it in a little bit, but I want to know, how would you handle, you're with your family at the theaters, you're so excited, you spent a lot of money, you've been waiting months, you've been waiting years. For The Force Awakens.
A lifetime.
And the people sitting behind you are vaping away and just blowing the smoke, which, of course, it's not, to me, it's not stinky.
Were they youths or were they scary biker looking dudes?
Oh, youths. They were, I don't know.
Street youths.
They weren't the bikers. They I don't know if they were over 18 or not. They looked like they could be 18, but they looked like they could be 16 or 17.
Yeah. So they were 26 because we're just old.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know how to judge it. I know they were younger, so they weren't a, like, full grown adults.
I seriously would have turned around and like, hey, Darth Vapor, get out.
Oh my God.
Get out.
Darth Vapor.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And he would have gone,
get your cotton candy butt out of my theater.
So,
Darth Vapor, you're welcome.
How do you handle the situation?
Jokes don't get better than that. Morning.
Morning.
I'm all for vaping, man, but you got to treat it like smoke. I would have turned around and told the kid or whoever it was, I got my little kid here, you know. If you guys could do that elsewhere, I'd be really appreciated. Mm.
Did they find out any studies out there you can get secondhand vape?
Secondhand vape?
But I'm more than sure it's just smoke. It's vape. I mean,
it's obnoxious.
It is, but it's better than smoke.
Yeah, I agree.
It smells better, but is it better for you? That's what we don't really know.
It reminds me of driving by General Mills, in the morning when they're like making the cereal and you're driving by and you're like, oh, Lucky Charms Day! Lucky Charms Day!
Thanks, man.
Okay. A small but disturbing study published last summer found that vaping indoors, even in a well-ventilated room, releases ultra-fine particles and potentially carcinogenic hydrocarbons into the air.
So it is. It's not good for
But it's at such low concentrations, it might not pose any health risk at all.
I don't care if it's a fog machine, dude, and it's supposed to be part of the... No, you're in a movie theater. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I would have lost my mind.
Thank you.
Thank you for not being patient.
338-3700. How would you handle that situation? You're at Star Wars, The Force Awakens, or even if you're at just
any
movie that you've been waiting to watch and you've spent a ton of money, you sit down with the family and the person behind you is vaping away. Do you confront them? Because I'm the type of guy who doesn't like to confront people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you do is you go see the movie with Steve-O and you make him do it.
Absolutely, because I will. I will totally do it. You got to tell me the name of the movie, though, that I'm at so that I can come up with an appropriate diss like Darth Vapor.
Yeah.
Okay? And you've got to give me a solid 30 seconds so my brain can kick in and come up with the perfect diss. Mm-hmm. So that they're like kind of giggling but also offended. Like, oh, he just called me Darth Vapor. Wait, he's telling me to put this away.
Do you go and ask, do you leave the theater and go and ask for a manager?
Has the movie started?
No.
Then you race out there. Because if you miss a single trailer, that guy owes you $20.
That's right. Despite them being on the internet forever.
It's part of the movie experience. Once it started, it's like, oh, the movie's kind of messing up. The volume's down. Somebody else better run out because I don't want to miss a moment.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Victoria.
Hey!
Victoria.
Hey, yeah, I'm actually the type of person that probably would confront them. I'd try and do it as nicely as I could, and then if they wouldn't stop, I would probably either myself or ask somebody who I'm with, go tell somebody from the theater, because that's ridiculous, in the theater.
Yeah.
Are there stipulations in movie theaters like, hey, no vaping?
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. If there's so many...
I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, you're not supposed to smoke in buildings anyway.
Yeah. But this isn't technically smoking.
Somehow it's different.
I know, but still.
I know. No, yeah. I know. You think it's common sense, but did I mention my friend Dex, who was at a movie theater, where someone was vaping?
But still, sometimes people don't care if there's a sign up. They don't care.
That's true.
No, that's true.
But if there's a rule, you can at least get a manager who will go, hey, 12-year-old, put away the e-cig. Yeah.
I mean,
you're supposed to turn your cell phones off. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm betting this is going to go the way of the cell phone.
I hope so, because I'm very quick to be like, yo, Instagram, watch the movie.
I wish I could see that giant screen except for that tiny, bright LED light.
I'm the worst at movie theaters. I am the worst. Thanks, Victoria.
That's big. Bye.
Dude.
Bye.
Our boy Paul in Houston said Darth Vaper might have turned around and said, I find your lack of vape disturbing. Which, I just stand up and slow clap.
He would have gone, okay.
Okay, you know what? Vape away, bro.
Vape away.
You got me,
good.
Darth Vaper.
That was really good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to chime in on the vaping thing, and I can't say, or I don't want to say this morning where I work, but I have a little bit of knowledge about this subject.
Okay,
tell us. No.
First of all, the research isn't there yet to tell us how harmful or not
secondhand vape is.
E-cigarettes are, and certainly any kind of secondhand exposure, but there's a lot of research being done. And I notice right away, if there's a sign up that asks people not to use e-cigarettes, and the theater that I recently saw the new Star Wars movie in did have that sign up.
Okay.
And so what I would have done in that situation is I would have politely asked the person to please stop, especially with my children there. But if I would have also, in fact, maybe first, I would have contacted the theater, and if the theater did have a policy to not use those devices, then they would have enforced it. If they didn't have a policy, however, I would really work to talk to that theater, or actually, if it were me, I would contact the State Department of Health Tobacco Use Prevention and Control Program.
Wow, you're legit!
To talk to the theater, because there are places in Albuquerque and probably other places around the state that do have those signs up. And the Department of Health can help you with that, because the Department of Health is very interested in helping people be healthy.
Hmm. Thanks, Governor Martinez. And, I don't want to say where I work.
No,
I'm on the Senate.
Name or anything like that. But I will also say this, because a couple of people mentioned how vaping is less harmful than cigarettes, and while that may be the case, we don't exactly know.
Hmm.
I will say, though, that they contain nicotine, which is terribly, 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 terribly addictive.
Yep.
It is very, very difficult for people to quit that substance. And here's the other thing that nobody else has mentioned. Regardless of harm or not, there is an addictive substance that these big companies are making a lot of money on getting these people addicted for life.
Especially kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it tastes like Lucky Charms. Yeah.
Solid
thoughts. At least it smells like it. I don't know what it actually tastes like.
Let me also say this, though. I'm really impressed that you're a Christian radio station and you're talking about this, because we all know that Christians never smoke, right? Wrong.
Yeah. Wrong.
I really appreciate you talking about that, and I think it's a good thing you got going on.
Thank you so much. I'm going to send that to the bosses.
Thank you for listening.
Appreciate
that.
All right, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
All right, we have to go to break, but I want to share real quick how I handled the situation.
Yes, please do.
Because, again, if you're just tuning in, we took the family to Star Wars The Force Awakens a couple weeks ago, and we were pumped, we were excited, spent a lot of money. We get to our seats, and the people behind us, they started vaping. They started blowing the vape over the seats. I mean, it was just covering us.
Yeah.
And my wife, she doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
You know, she's usually the one who confronts. But this time she asked me to confront. And I'm not the I get uncomfortable. I don't like to confront.
I can't wait to go out in public with you.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I
can't wait to hang out with you anywhere.
Because usually when I have confronted in the past, I will say the wrong thing. I will do the wrong thing. And so, but I really wanted to do this for my wife.
Okay.
I wanted to be the man. I wanted to step up.
You got to.
So I took a deep breath. I stood up.
Yeah.
I turned around.
Woo! Did you call him Darth Vapor?
I turned around.
He probably did.
I looked those
jokers,
16-year-olds in the eyes.
Street youths.
I did. I took a deep breath.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't do it. And I sat back.
Are you serious?
I couldn't do it.
It's because you took a deep breath and the cotton candy filled your lungs.
I couldn't do it.
Are you kidding me?
No, I couldn't.
So you dealt with like smell-o-vision the whole movie?
It was awful.
Please tell me you were sitting there justifying it. You're like, I guess a lightsaber could smell like that.
You terrible.
Cotton candy.
I am lame. That's just all there is to it. So my wife took care of it. She was she took care of it and they stopped and they said, oh, yeah, no problem. And
I love Leslie.
It was no big deal.
I was
sweating.
You were nervous.
I was.
I get it.
I was almost hyperventilating. I had so much anxiety.
You were so non-confrontational. I got to shut him down.
Oh,
but
gosh.
What if I stand up and I say, hey, you. Stop it.
Gosh. I'm going to be like Cyrano. And every time we're out in public, if we come into a situation like that, I'm going to be the guy that's just feeding you the lines.
No, don't.
I'm like, no, you're going to confront them. Call him Darth Vapor.
Perfect.
We got to go to break. It's the Morning Invasion. Hang out.
The Morning Invasion on Star 88.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
Fair warning. The Morning Invasion is back on Star 88.
I may have some news for you.
Big news.
Stand by.
The Powerball drawing at $1.5 billion.
Former NFL running back Lawrence Phillips is found dead in his California prison cell.
Ted Cruz has picked up a celebrity endorser. Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson.
Stock prices took another big drop.
Sailors detained by Iran are now free.
Bill Cosby won't have to be deposed next month. Federal judge agreeing to hold off on that deposition.
President Obama hit the road. First up, Omaha.
In Flint, Michigan, they're telling people to beware of scammers selling water filters because those are part of what the National Guard and others are distributing for free to deal with the water crisis there.
A French police official says an avalanche struck a school group skiing in the Alps.
General Electric is moving its world headquarters from Fairfield, Connecticut to Boston.
Commando Force has arrived in Iraq to help in the fight against ISIS.
Less than 3 years after launching, the cable network Al Jazeera America is shutting down.
The Treasury Department's announced new rules aimed at preventing money laundering, cracking down on secretive purchases of high-end real estate.
We got breaking news. This just did. Go ahead, Mateo.
Okay, so so-called Islamic State, or ISIS, has said it was behind a series of explosions and gun attacks in the Indonesian capital, Jakarta. At least 2 civilians and 5 attackers died in the assaults, which was described as an attempt to mimic the deadly Paris attacks.
Wow.
Security forces battled militants for hours in a major business and shopping district. And I guess it followed warnings late last year that the Islamist terrorists were planning a major attack. Attack. They had released a statement online claiming the attacks, which it said were carried out by soldiers of the Caliphate targeting citizens of the Crusader Coalition against the group. So that's going on right now. Or all the fallout, I guess, is happening over in Indonesia. So we should remember to keep those folks in our thoughts and prayers this morning.
1, 2, 3, 4. It is 8:41 on the Morning Invasion. Good morning. 9 a.m. Brian Nixon will be joining us. He is he's a great man.
Professor of life.
Knows a lot about everything. And you guys can call in at 338-3700. And if you maybe doubt the Bible, maybe you doubt God, maybe you just have a question about the Bible in general, maybe hell, maybe
I mean, like hell. Maybe you
I was
doubt
like,
hell.
Cool, man.
Like you doubt hell.
Tell him.
Maybe you're just in a state of mourning over Alan Rickman.
Yeah, Steve-O's. He's been.
I've been bummed, dude.
This
been
guy pretty over bummed. Here.
Man.
I'm sorry.
He lived a long life, man. 69?
69 years old.
That's a good age to go. I think. Yeah. I want to go at 65.
You know, it's like Lemmy from Motorhead. And I was like, well, I was a huge fan of Triple H. So, you know, theme song and Ace of Spades. I get that.
And Lemmy, he was like 35, you know, but he just looked old.
He's 70 years old. Dude, and then you got David Bowie, and that was very sad. But for me, it was you know, Labyrinth, and there were his hits.
Yeah.
But I would not venture a lie and say, oh, dude, he changed my life musically. My favorite Bowie song was a cover that Nirvana did, you know? So, yeah. But Alan Rickman, one of my very first, you know, movie theater experiences I remember with the whole family was Robin Hood. And Die Hard, it's still, you know, Christmas movie.
And, I watched
Snape, bro.
Mm-hmm. I watched Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves recently again. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen that movie back when I was younger, but watching him again. Oh, I could appreciate his acting so much.
He's one of the greatest villains ever.
I mean, he is so good at what he does. And I wonder if he was a villain in real life.
He played like any villain he played was
so
it was
good.
A haunting villain.
Yeah.
You know?
Those are the actors that you love because even if you don't quote unquote like them in the film, that's probably a good sign. That means they did their job. I always think of Gladiator when I think of that because Joaquin Phoenix for the longest time, I couldn't even look at that guy because it was like, oh, hate you.
Yeah.
Because your performance was so outstanding in Gladiator. You're the worst of the worst villain. So, yeah, that's Alan Rickman, man. Hans Gruber.
I would like to
always
talk about this story here.
Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of moms out there listening right now can probably relate to this mother.
Oh.
This mother, she is upset.
Okay.
She's upset with her teenage son.
Mm-hmm.
Her teenage son won't cuddle her anymore.
Okay. He's over it. He's like that to that stage.
There's a time when if you have kids.
Don't tell me these things.
Oh, Steve.
I'm a huggy, kissy guy.
Oh, jeez.
I'm an embarrassment. Well, my kids are in school, right? It's, I'd say 45. Hopefully, I'll
45.
Dude, I kiss my boys every day.
You know what?
Kisses.
You need to.
Mouth
need to
kisses, bro.
Get as many as you possibly can in right now.
Don't tell me these things.
You know, it changes. You know, my oldest is 14 now, and he is, he's a great kid. He's an amazing kid, but he's different. He's growing up. He's becoming more mature.
No, I don't
He doesn't that. Want to hug. He doesn't want kisses from mom or dad. You know, he's a teenager.
I got cuddly kids, man. Last night we were laying in bed. It's late and I hear "Mama! Mama!" And it's little Brody. "Come rub my back." And she's like, So she went in there last night and then I hear Luke go, Can you rub my back? Like, dude, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, mom, back rub? I'm awake!
Yes.
Yep. Rub me!
And you know what? As a parent, you got to take a hold of those opportunities when they come, man, because it doesn't last long. Oh, it'll change.
I don't want to hear this.
They'll never ask for a back rub again when they get to that age.
Just ask this mom, apparently.
Yes, this mom. She's very upset. Their teenage son will not cuddle her anymore. So guess what she did?
Asked him to cuddle again?
No. What? She knit herself a life-size version of him.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay. It just got...
Yes!
It just got really creepy in here.
That's very strange.
That is... No.
Yes.
No, dude.
Yes,
that's like
did.
Psycho
That's a
stuff.
Personality disorder.
She knit a life-size version of her teenage son. Relationship sounds totally
take?
Healthy. Completely normal.
No,
I don't know. Do you guys watch the Goldbergs?
So. No.
No.
Oh,
well, did we just really deflate you?
I've heard it's very funny.
Oh, it is. It's my favorite show on TV. I mean, it's so good. But the mom on the Goldbergs, she reminds me of this mom. She would totally do that. She would knit a life-size version of her son if he stopped cuddling.
That what is the creepiest.
What does the teenager do in this situation? He comes home, because it can't have taken her a couple days. This had to have been a weeks long process at
just
least.
Just crocheting on the couch.
So does he come in and he's like, what you doing? Oh, just knitting a blanket. Cool. And then a couple days later,
a
he's like,
human
that's
blanket.
A pretty big blanket. Yeah, yeah.
Want to wear just your skin. Knitting away.
And then you come in, the mom's like, you want to come over here and call? No, mom, I don't. Why does that blanket look like a person? Oh, no reason. Go to your room. Okay. And then he comes in and he's like, that looks like me.
Yeah, dude. That is, I'm telling you, nothing says creepy mom like knitting a life-size version of your kid. And then you wonder, mom, why your son doesn't want to cuddle with you.
I hope she goes to jail.
No.
Is the last name Bates? Do they own a hotel chain?
Yeah, no, this woman is named she's from the Netherlands. How would you pronounce it?
Methamphetamines. Yeah. No, I know.
Mariaki.
Yeah, sounds crazy.
I don't know.
Mariaki Vorsajuzdis.
Oh, man.
Well, here's the good news.
Okay.
Here's the good news. The son actually liked the idea and even helped her make it.
Okay, never mind.
And
strange family.
Strange. She's like, I made a hoodie.
Well,
it's your skin.
Maybe
I'm going to wear you.
Here we go. And open up the link here so we can see what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
We're not posting.
We have
that.
To post this.
No, we're not.
No, we have to post this on our Facebook.
Oh my goodness.
This is the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
He's picking his note. The guys, thing that she knit together, the life-size knitting of her son.
We're posting
is
it right
her,
now.
His nose.
Facebook.com/star88FM. We have to post this.
And it's holding a skateboard.
No, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen
You're
in my life.
Have to get me the link because I don't.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
It's in the prep.
Oh my gosh. That is very strange.
She knit a cuddly life-size version of her son so that she could cuddle him.
It looks very disturbing.
Hey guys, if I go weird when my kids, you know, decide that they're too cool for dad, just talk me out of stuff. I don't know, take me to Star Wars.
Here's the thing.
Yell at vaping kids.
I reverse my decision on the kid. I think he's probably a very smart kid.
Yeah.
He wants to get out of cuddling with his mom, and he's like, "Oh, hey, let me help you with that."
You hit it. Yeah, that's it, you know? That's it.
Dude.
You know, in this picture, it's titled Smother Mother. And she's holding the son that she knit together. This one's eating junk food.
It gives new meaning to knit together in your mother's womb. Am I right? Okay. Good morning.
This one's nose picking. Skateboarding.
I'm going to post it. It's very strange.
Oh, man.
It's creepy.
It is.
Speaking of creepy, we got a stalker.
We do?
Yeah, we got a stalker. My phone's been blowing up all morning. Stephen Christian from Amberlin was like, "Hey, what do you guys got going on in the 9 o'clock hour? Can I hang out with you?" And I said, "Yes, you can." So, stalker Stephen. That's what I call him. It's the SS.
We should, we should probably. You were right by saying it's fine because,
we're opening
up a can of worms.
He wants to hang out, so I said, "Sure, man. You know, we got four mics and five people in here. It should work out well. Should work out.
It's going to be great.
Well,
am I getting kicked into the other room?
No. I'm going to wear you like a knit Teo." Yeah.
So there you go. Is that creepy?
Yeah.
Is it creepy that the mom did this, or is it completely normal?
I'm going to call you Crocheo.
Thanks, Hannibal. Can we move on?
Yes, we can. We can move on.
Just a little uncomfortable with the morning's turn here, the turn in conversation.
Let's be honest. That guy looks like Flynn Rider over there. He's quite attractive.
I'm going to say that it puts me in a different place than I've ever been.
You. Yeah. Just want to cuddle.
Hey,
we used to be roommates.
I thought you were coming in to fix this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you thought wrong.
I can't imagine why my wife's always nervous I'm going to lose my job with my mouth.
All right, let's move on to the oldest teacher in America.
Thank you.
The oldest teacher in America. I mean, she's old. She's 102 years old, and she's still teaching. Her name is Agnes. She's been teaching elementary school kids in northern New Jersey how to cook and sew since she was 81. And she says she doesn't plan on stopping anytime soon.
Oh, when I was a young girl, school was different, completely different. When I was in Illinois, naturally, We didn't have the equipment that they have today. Computers, television, cameras. We didn't have even an inside toilet.
That's Agnes.
Wow.
Where do you find this
stuff? Do you want her teaching your children?
Computers!
Yes! They even had such weird things as telephones, or running water, or electricity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Agnes,
I'm just saying.
Agnes has lived life. She has a lot of wisdom. You
to
know?
The fullest.
I would want her teaching my kids. I'd be all about it.
Life skills.
She's got a lot of knowledge.
Like how to skin a bear and make a blanket.
Here's Agnes telling people how she lived to be 102.
What's your advice for people if they want to live to be 102?
Just be happy with what you're doing. You have to like what you're doing. My favorite part of teaching here is taking care of the children. I made all the aprons for the children to wear to keep their clothes clean. I made the curtain for the school's play. I made costumes, a lot of them. I enjoy that, especially see them on the stage dressed up in what I made.
Agnes is
booze.
I feel like she's a super happy lady.
That's it, Mateo. You nailed it. She's happy. That's why she's 102, because she's happy. Yeah. She's doing what she loves.
Oh, man.
See, a lot of people, there's this word out there called retired.
Oh.
Yep.
And I don't understand it.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't understand it, because I'm hoping to have a job later.
It doesn't. I don't want to retire. Yeah. I hope I do this till I die.
Oh, man.
I do. I hope I'm on the radio till I die.
With us? Can you sign this real quick?
He's signing it.
Just to make sure. Say that again. The three of us.
I signed something with the other two guys, and look at how that worked out.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Maybe you shouldn't, because you might end up with him wanting to make a knit version of it.
Yeah, you know.
That's a good point.
That just happened to me a few minutes ago. I don't know if you were here and you heard that. But then he started talking about him.
Well, as our friend Paul in Houston said, we are a close-knit family.
Yes.
Thanks, Paul. For backing him up on that.
Oh, Agnes. Well, she goes on to say, well, she's never missed a day of work and doesn't plan on quitting anytime soon. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm going to stay as long as I can. I just love making people happy. It makes me happy.
That's amazing.
It really is. I love Agnes. She's 102 years old. She's the oldest teacher in America.
Wow.
Good.
That's pretty
for
cool.
You.
Yeah. Is it what grade is she teaching?
Well, she teaches kids how to cook and sew.
Okay, so I'm assuming middle school, maybe?
Middle school.
Okay.
Elementary kids.
Okay, elementary kids.
Right.
When they're still sweet.
Right?
And wonderful. Before they get to that middle school thing. Yeah.
All right, we have to go to
break. Saw Dangerous Minds. I know how it works.
When we come back, think about a Thursday with Brian Nixon, theologian. Stephen Christian for Amberlin.
Steve-O, knitter of weird dolls of his friends. Me, creeped out guy. And
potato, potato.
All right. 338-3700 is the phone number. You can also email us at studio@star88.fm.
That's right.
You can be anonymous. You can hit us up on our Facebook page as well. What's that, Mateo?
Facebook.com/star88fm.
We'll be back.
Stay tuned. The Morning Invasion is coming back. It's time for The Morning Invasion. Here's Dex, Steve-O, and Teo on Star 88.
Let's get on with the show!
This is Ground Control.
I find that I'm a person who can take on the guises of different people that I meet. I can switch accents in seconds of meeting somebody and I can adopt their accent. I've always found that I collect. I'm a collector. And I've always just seemed to collect personalities, ideas. I have a hodgepodge philosophy which really is very minimal.
Do you believe in God?
I believe in an energy form. I wouldn't like to put a name to it.
Do you indulge in any form of worship?
Life. I love life very much indeed.
That is David Bowie. Back in 1973, where he talks about himself and his philosophy on life, God. And that's why we are here today, ladies and gentlemen. It is Dex, Steve-O, Mateo, Stephen Christian, and Brian Nixon. Think About It Thursday is happening right now. I'm so excited. I can't
wait.
It's
cool
out.
I'm
so excited. Oh, my goodness.
Skeptics, welcome.
Everybody here, check their mics. Is everybody good?
We're good over here. Okay. This is Brian.
We're all good over here. How are you?
How are you?
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Yes.
Woo.
All right.
We're all good here.
Hey, before we start,
we have roll call.
We have a to be continued from the last thing that we talked about.
Yes.
Because Dawn texted me and pointed it out. The lady didn't just knit a doll of her older son. Apparently, there's a younger son. She knit a suit that the younger son wears. It's a suit of the older son that the younger son wears
that
so the mom can cuddle.
Everything that we were talking about.
It just went next level.
It really did. I was kind of okay with it. Now you tell me that.
I know.
It's the Netherlands. So.
Matt, you successfully segued us right out of the David Bowie conversation.
Thank you.
So we can move on.
Well, no, here it is. David Bowie wore many masks. Just like this poor kid. Wearing the mask of his older brother.
Okay.
Tail, you're usually a fashionable guy, but that shirt, if I just put a little upside down V, you'd look like a Star Trek uniform.
Thanks,
yeah!
Man.
Yeah!
I'll take it.
You see what I'm saying?
To me, it reminds me of my meemaw's bathroom.
Okay.
It's a mint sweater. It's like 70s green.
I thought you meant like mint condition. It's a mint
it's
sweater
mint color.
From 73.
Mm-hmm.
All right, phone lines are open at 338-3700, 338-3700. We want you guys to be a part of this hour. Mm. We want you to call in. If you have questions about the Bible, if you have questions about God, maybe you doubt, maybe you're agnostic, like we just found out from our friend David Bowie, who just recently passed away.
Of course, to be fair, that was 1973.
That was 1973.
I had very different beliefs in 73 than I do now.
I know Brian Nixon.
Also is pre-existence. So.
We talked to Brian Nixon a little bit a couple days ago about David Bowie's passing, and an hour later,
that's right.
He threw down the Bowie on us, man. I mean, he gave us a little bit of history, and I want you to do the same thing right now and tell us your thoughts on his passing, what he did for you.
Yeah, well, I am saddened. I mean, the first thing when I heard the news, my heart sank. I mean, like many people. I don't think anyone in this room here were really of the Bowie generation. We were all, inheritors, musically speaking, of what Bowie did in the 70s. Though I was probably the only one alive when he said those things about, you know, God is energy, form, or force, and worship is life. The fact is, I was a child. And so Bowie really influenced all of us, I think, through the artists we listened to. Mm. And in my case, there was a direct link. I enjoyed guys like Joy Division, who were the post-punk fellas, and they all went back to a particular period of David Bowie's life, which we'd call the Berlin years, his album Low and such. A trilogy, all of them were produced by Brian... anyone know? Anyone?
Eno?
Thank you. Go.
You're
there
welcome.
You go. Brian
Steven.
Eno. Someone knows. But the reality is his influence is far-reaching. And I think, you know, Dex, what we were talking about the day he died with Steve-O was, should Christians be sad when we lose a cultural icon that we just don't know if they're a Christian? And my answer to you was emphatically yes.
Yeah.
We should be sad. And I say that on multiple levels. One, anytime a life, whether they're a believer or not believer, we are to be sad because life is a gift from God. And ultimately, it is one of our enemies, you know, in this. And that's why we believe in Christ, because he overcame death. But the point is that we could also rejoice in his life for what we would call in theology common grace. See, now, we have to have our listeners put on their thinking caps here for a minute. Think in your mind's eye a triangle, and then underneath that triangle, two circles. The triangle represents God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. Underneath that triangle are two circles that we could write general revelation, which would be nature, and over in the other circle, specific revelation, which would be the Bible. Now, God, who's above both of those, is the author of both of those. So God, who is truth, spoke truth in the Bible, and he spoke truth in nature. And common grace, this idea that we could celebrate and rejoice in things, ultimately they're given a gift from God, fall under that first circle of what we call general revelation. This idea that God has gifted, and I'm just going to use Stephen here because, you know, he was in a well-known popular rock band.
Anne Berlin.
And Anne Berlin, you know, they toured the world. And they used their gifts, whether they knew it or not, for God's glory. Obviously, in the case of Stephen, he knew that. But they were using gifts. They were using a creative outlet as such. And that has a streamline back to the architect of all creativity, God. So when we lose someone who is creative, we could be really sad because we could say we lost something that God gifted them, whether they knew it or not. See, what I like to say is David Bowie later in his life may not have believed in God as such as we did, but God believed in David Bowie.
I love that.
He gifted David Bowie with those things. And my prayer for David Bowie was that maybe in his final days that he returned that gift back to God and woke up to, like, wow, maybe God is more than just a life force, and maybe worship is more than just worshiping life. Maybe it truly is about worshiping the God who created life, who created energy, who created all of these things. So we are sad because we lost a life, and Christians should be sad when a life is lost. Mm-hmm. But secondly, we're sad because he truly was a creative genius, and he was a archetype of, you know, what God has done, you know, through creation, you know, as a creative act. God is Absolutely. The great artist.
Yeah. 338-3700 is the number to call us if you have a question. Maybe you want to talk about David Bowie and your thoughts on what he had said. We played a little clip at the beginning of the show back in 1973 on his philosophy on God and life. And I love what you said, Brian, about the triangle when you painted that picture, you know, and then you talked about everybody has a gift. You know, God gave every person a gift to use, whether they know it or not. God knows it, you know, and Bowie changed the world. I mean, think about what he did to the world. I mean, I'm sure he influenced Stephen, right? He influenced so many.
I would say he influenced the guy who influenced Stephen.
Yeah,
honestly,
think about
because
that.
I know I don't know how big of a Bowie fan you were. If it was like, oh, dude, no, this is one of my heroes. But I do know that you're a huge Morrissey fan, and I would definitely say that Morrissey was heavily influenced by David Bowie.
Unequivocally, he was. Any post-punk person, and post-punk really is from 1978 to about 1988, we could say that was the post-punk era. And all of those guys looked to really three performers that of the generation before him. One was David Bowie, and then there was Brian Eno of Roxy Music, and Roxy Music, generally speaking, influenced him. And then, interestingly enough, another person or group that they looked to, particularly in England, was the Velvet Underground, yeah. Which was a New York band, Lou Reed, who died a couple of years ago himself. So those three groups really helped you know, influence what we would call the post-punk era. And interestingly enough, about post-punk, you know, 1979 was a pinnacle year for post-punk. You know, you had Japan's release of The Quiet Life, which influenced the new romantic movement, which Duran Duran and others followed suit. And then you had Joy Division, who recorded Unknown Pleasures, which kind of influenced The Cure and other, you know, that type of stuff. Morrissey happened to be at the Sex Pistols concert with Ian Curtis, who was the singer of Joy Division, and the Sex Pistols, though their influences were a little bit different than some of the other guys, though even though the Sex Pistols were influenced by David Bowie, the reality is the Sex Pistols concert there in Manchester spawned a lot of groups, including the Smiths, including Joy Division, including, and the list goes on and on. So from a historical musical standpoint, David Bowie looms large as well.
Mm. I think one of the takeaways from the life of David Bowie is God obviously has created us with this incredible purpose, right? And a lot of times we can say, I don't know what that is or whatever. We can choose to ignore it. We can choose to walk away. But then you look at what happens when you actually truly find that calling. David Bowie was a pioneer in so many regards that think of the countless musicians who are influenced by him and the culture it created because mm-hmm. one dude stood by the vision that was impressed upon him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, I think this all ties in. You know, Sunday, I watched as, you know, I'm standing on stage, I'm doing worship here at Calvary, and I watched as a young man comes down the aisle, and he's carrying his daughter, and she must be 1 year old, maybe younger. And dude, I just started tearing up because I looked at him and I was just like, he doesn't know it now, but he has influenced her entire life. Her entire existence has her path in life has completely now changed. And then her children's path has completely changed. If he stays in the Word of God and if he stays a strong Christian and really seeks, and it's amazing how that's why I love influence. Yeah. You may not see it today, but you don't know the generations that you might affect years down the road. Rumi said, when you die, don't leave a place on earth, but in the hearts of men. Because and I agree, the hearts of men, man, that look at Vincent van Gogh. He sold one painting his entire life, and that was to his brother who was just trying to help him out. You know, yet years later, you know, he's in every, you know, Walmart poster aisle. You know, what I'm saying is the decisions that you make today don't affect just your life. They affect your children's life, mm-hmm. other people's lives down. And you don't know, 50, 100 years, whatever you write, if you feel inspired to write a book, maybe a couple hundred years down the road, somebody picks it up and it changes a life. So yeah. What I'm saying is don't take for granted. You look at your life and you say, well, nobody knows me. Nobody cares. But I'll tell you what, when you have children someday, you're about to influence generations. Think about that, you know, down the line. So yeah. that's the beauty of music and the fact that, yes, you know, like...
And art in general.
Yeah, like if it wasn't for Woody Guthrie, who knows if the Beatles would sound like that? You see what I'm saying? Like, because Woody Guthrie influenced Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan influenced the Beatles, you know, goes down mm-hmm. the pipeline. Woody Guthrie, nobody knows. We've never played him at Star 88. You know, we've never even, his name may have never been mentioned on this radio station. But without him, Bob Dylan may not have ever existed.
Would you like a history lesson on Woody Guthrie?
Oh, I mean, gosh,
just at his museum not too long ago.
Wow. Dude,
think about it Thursday. Phone lines are open at 338-3700. Are you still there? Hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to apologize, but my question is way off subject of what you're talking about.
Okay.
Oh, real quick. Right. What do you got, buddy?
All right, so then I'll hang up afterwards. So... I've been trying to ask this last year, but I watched a documentary a while back, and this believer, who is also a historian and archaeologist, his favorite story was Moses and the Exodus. So he wanted to go and find more evidence that it happened. Well, we all know the Bible says it happened during the time of Ramses. But he looked in the time of Ramses, and he couldn't find any evidence, and he almost got discouraged. So he dug deeper, and he actually found a lot of evidence that supports the Exodus and everything, to prove it fact, but it was during a different time of a different pharaoh. I don't remember what time it is. I mean, so I don't know. My take is, like, could the Bible be actually wrong as the time period, or did they do that on purpose or something? Because, I mean, the evidence he found suggests it never happened during the time of Ramses, as the Bible says, but, you know, almost 200 years earlier.
Yeah,
I just want to know what your take is on that.
Well, let me just, this is Brian here. Let me just say the Bible is not wrong. Our interpretations of the Bible could be wrong. And what you have here is you have three major interpretations regarding who the Pharaoh was under Moses' reign. One is Ramses, and I won't get into all the history, but what you can fully, you know, walk away with is that the Bible isn't in error. Let me just give a rule of thumb. And by the way, this comes from Augustine. When approaching the Bible, there's only three options if we think there's an error, and there's not, because God cannot err. But the three options are, one, our interpretation of the Bible is an error. The actual manuscript itself is been damaged and therefore an error, like the ending has been ripped or something else of that nature. Or three, the scribes made a mistake. So there was a scribal error. And there are those things that are found there. But when you're talking about the Pharaoh of Moses, there's a lot of speculation. I would recommend that you pick up Dr. Stephen Collins' book. We have it here at Parchments. You could also go online. He makes a great case as to who he thinks the Pharaoh of Moses was. I'm not going to chime in heavily on this because it is a very heated debate. There are some scholars that take a hard stand on one particular guy. Another one will fall on another. But there are three pharaohs that people believe. And it all comes down to chronology and how we understand the Old Testament chronology. But again, Dr. Stephen Collins, his book, I think it's called Let My People Go. And it really is a discussion on who the pharaoh of the Exodus was.
So it wasn't King Tut?
Well, no, it wasn't
like
King
Tut. But Steve Martin's version, because he was way funnier.
But what our caller did, you know, he's spot on. There's lots of controversy. You know, there are people who have a definitive, like, oh, this is who it was. And then they start to investigate and go, oh, you mean other people don't think it was this guy? And then they give who they think it is. But it all comes down to the chronology of the Old Testament and where they feel the Exodus event happened.
Okay.
338-3700. Phone lines are open. We have Pastor Brian Nixon here. We have Stephen Christian here. Steve-O, Mateo. And this is my first Thursday show.
Yeah.
Very excited to be here.
Good job, buddy.
And you're doing a great job giving out that number.
Thank you.
And talking about David Bowie.
I knew Brian would be so excited to talk about David Bowie.
It is exciting. And, you know, I really want to stress to our listeners, because there are our brothers and sisters who really do have a hard time when Christians will celebrate the passing of a great cultural icon. And I'll use an example of, let's say, take someone out of the music realm, but let's say when Steve Jobs died. You know, there were a lot of Christians that were going, oh my gosh, you know, this was terribly sad. Look what this guy did for our society. Then there were a whole set of Christians that were saying, dude, I'm glad he passed, because he was like almost the Antichrist and all of this type of stuff.
As they're texting on their iPhones.
Yeah, as they're texting on their iPhones. And the reality, what we talked about, Dex and Steve-O, a couple days ago, is that they kind of don't understand common grace and the theology of God's specific revelation and his general revelation. That common grace, it's that grace that is given to all. And Steve Jobs was given grace. Whether he reciprocated that back to God, that's between him and the Lord. That's what he's going to have to stand before God with. But that doesn't mean we can't celebrate those gifts that God had given them through, you know, their lives.
I have a quick question. You know, going on, you know, what David Bowie said in that previous interview, he said that he was basically a lover of life. That was what he worshipped, and that kind of made me think a little bit about, you know, where the Bible talks emphatically about, you know, do not, you know, think about earthly things, but think of, you know, heavenly things, and if you love the world, and, you know, kind of what goes along with that. You know, recently I heard I was listening to a speaker on our sister station over there, and he was talking about how, you know, he was so emphatic about, you know, he cannot wait for Jesus to come back, you know, and he's really excited and hurry, Lord, and all this stuff. And to me, I want to know from a Christian's perspective, I'm kind of asking you, Brian, I kind of like life. And sometimes when people talk about revelations and they talk about the second coming of the Lord, it kind of stings a little bit in the fact that it's kind of, I want to know the balance. I want to talk about the balance between loving God with all our heart and kind of enjoying this world. Because as a Christian hedonist, I kind of enjoy this world. You know, I enjoy being happy. I love my kids. And yes, I'm excited about Jesus coming back. That's great. But really, if he could hold off till I see my grandkids, that'd be pretty awesome.
You know, on the flip side of that, you know, I feel that. You know, I'm the same way. But I also feel there's so many that still don't know. There's so many. When we're saying, please come, I want you to come now, Jesus.
Well, it's selfish.
Yeah. Think about all of those who still haven't heard the gospel. You know, that, you know, I have friends and family members that still don't know. They still are holding on to the world. And man, as long as it takes, you know, that's where I'm at.
Well, and I also think we're talking about multiple things here, because when it's talking about, oh, if you're a lover of the world, then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's weird, because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And so, but it says we can't love the world or the things of the world, but God loved the world that he sent his son. And so I think we're talking about two different things, because I too love life. Man, I just got to experience Disneyland for a few days, and to see my kids light up as they do certain, it just warms your heart, and I absolutely enjoy breathing oxygen and living, but I also think we should probably define what it means by loving the world, because I think a lot of Christians just have it backwards. Yeah.
And there, you know, Stephen's question is, I mean, there's so many layers to it. You really have to unpack it individually. Let's go back to David Bowie's initial comment. You know, he basically worships life. That would be idolatry.
Yes.
Anything put above God is idolatry. So David Bowie, at this point in 1973, was espousing what's called panentheism. Mm. And panentheism, it's not polytheism. Polytheism is that there's many gods. And like, you know, there's the god of this, there's the god of that, there's the god of this. What David Bowie was espousing at this time is panentheism, that God is in everything. And ultimately, the best expression of God is life. Well, that is a distortion of the biblical notion of who God is. So I would say I would disagree with David Bowie, you know, according to these statements in 1973. However, what Stephen, I think, is really getting at is not that we're to worship life, but how are we to celebrate life? And I think Christians are to celebrate life. You know, it's kind of, this is how I would do it. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We kind of have one foot in the gifts that God has given us here in our existence on planet Earth. But we also have one foot, you know, in heaven. We're going to die. All of us are going to die. We can't get too comfortable. So I think we can be very, very pro-life, you know, not just in our political meaning of that word, but we could be pro-life in that this is a gift from God. And again, it all goes back to a proper understanding of God's specific and general revelation. And let me just say this in a sense. I could praise God as much for gravity as I can for grace. Mm. You know, and I could praise God as much for his physical life, what he's given me, family, friends, food, all of this stuff around me, as well as spiritual life. And what we have a tendency to do in the church, particularly the evangelical church, is we are Neoplatonic in our approach. We separate these two things and say, well, no, only one really matters. It's only the spiritual life that matters. Well, that's not a biblical vision. That is not what God painted. In the beginning, Genesis 1, what did God say? It is good. He created this stuff. He gave us that general revelation, that nature, life. And he said, this is good. And then, of course, man fell. But right. Ultimately, it's the spiritual life. And these two are not meant to be split up, but to be kept as a unified whole. So it's those people who are separating them, I think, that don't have a proper understanding of the biblical witness.
Honestly, Brian, that's really freeing. I mean, it really is, because pizza. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds funny, and I get to celebrate moments with my kids, and I get to celebrate, you know, something as simple as just like the sunset, and at the same time glorifying him through all those things. Yeah, that's so freeing, Brian. That's really cool.
This is where I'm at with when you said I want to live my life, you know? My son has told me that before. When we were talking about going to heaven and being with God, he told me, "But I want to live first." When I think about that, well, we're going to eat pizza in heaven, right? We're going to hang out with our friends. We're going to live life like we're living life now, but we're not going to have the garbage to deal with. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's
I was at a funeral one time, and somebody gave a really cool illustration. They were basically saying, when we were in the womb, we didn't understand the outside world. Therefore, that's where we wanted to stay. You know, like that's where we felt. And then we got to this world, and we're like, wow. And now this is where we want to stay. So I am positive that it's better. There's no doubt that it's better. I don't know it, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So therefore, my state of nature is I want to stay here.
You know, a great theologian once told me that death is the greatest adventure.
Okay. It is. That's Captain Hook.
Captain Hook. Good morning.
Captain Hook.
How are you?
He's pretty great.
I wanted to make a few comments. I've been on the phone for a while, so the conversation steers a lot. But what I wanted to say to the gentleman that called about Ramses and Moses is that that you have to think about, there's also Ramses the first, second, third. You know, there's different Ramses throughout history. So you have to take that into note as well. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, the Egyptians wiped away a lot of the history of Moses, of the Hebrews.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Yeah, that's all you wanted to say?
That's all she wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and that is good. I mean, again, it goes back to my point. There's a variety of viewpoints regarding who the Pharaoh was.
And you could see where that would make sense, because it's not like Exodus was written for the Egyptians. So it was written for the Hebrew people. So it probably would not necessarily
and
specifically chronicle each Egyptian.
Ramses does not dance at the party.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
That's good.
And let me just say,
theologian Nacho Libre told me that.
I always go back when there are things like this that we clearly don't know in scripture. I mean, there's some, vary of interpretation. I always go back to science. And what is archaeology? What is the best archaeology telling us? Again, that is the natural revelation that God is showing. Let's go back to find what science is showing us. And that's why I think Dr. Stephen Collins, who is a bona fide archaeologist, mm-hmm. and in his book, Let My People Go, he does a great job at using archaeology to demonstrate who he believes the Pharaoh is.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm kind of perplexed why the Bible doesn't talk about Ramses' grandson, Ramstein.
Those two different things over there.
Phone lines are open. 338-3700. We'll get to more of your phone calls, but Mateo has email.
Branching off of science, because you believe in science.
Science.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. This past weekend in my Sunday school class, we were introduced to Walt Brown's hydroplate theory, which I know Beenix loves, which gives scientific evidence for the flood and formation of Earth's surface as we know it. By the end of the presentation, my head felt like it was going to explode.
Yeah.
As it turns out, there is a creation science museum just down the road in San Diego, and I can't wait for spring break to go check it out. By the way, thanks for listening from San Diego. Wow. Anyways, my question is this a reliable theory to explore? It's possible my small mind is caught up on a small detail because I can't comprehend the big picture, but I've started trying to research the theory and have found many articles explaining how it's just bad science. I know that there will always be people trying to debunk God and creation, and that if God wanted to be proven, he would be. He wants us to want him by faith, not by proof. Thank you.
Great question. Again, it's packed full of various angles we could take. But the hydroplate theory has been around for some time. You know, Walt Brown is just one of the proponents. You could go back to Henry Morris. I met Henry Morris. I actually went to the Creation Science Museum down there in San Diego. I've sat with these gentlemen and talked with them. But let me just answer your question. Are these theories worth to pursue? Sure, any theory is worth looking into because they're theories. In and of themselves, they're ideas or hypothesis given to explain a natural phenomenon. But we have to separate our investigation of that theory with the belief of that theory. Not all theories are worthy of belief. So you get to a point, you begin to investigate, you look at the science, the actual hard physical science of that, and if it falls short, I would say give up that theory. Mm. And for the hydroplate theory, and I'm just going to do it in injustice right now, I'm just going to summarize it in a very, very short manner. It goes something like this, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we know that. So they would say that the entirety of the landmass, what we would say in the natural sciences was Pangaea. That is where the Garden of Eden was. And then the flood came, and then over a period of time, these land masses started to separate, creating the continents that we have today. And I think there is definite science that would show that these land masses, at some point in history past, were together. They seemed like they could have fit. Though there's even some speculation like, in that area of this Pangaea. The question that a lot of people have is, could the hydroplate theory have happened in the past 10,000 years? And that's what chokes up most geologists. They would say, by no means, would a flood be able to separate these plates in such a quick fashion that it would have the effects that they have today. So I think some scientists would say the hydroplate theory, if you gave it a longer period of time of occurring, it's more plausible. But many of these guys are trying to condense it in a very short period of time. And the other scientists are saying it doesn't hold water. But back to the original point.
See what you did there. That's
fine. You see what I did there.
Yeah.
The point is, investigate it, and then weigh both sides. Use your brain, look at what one side says, and then don't neglect the other side.
338-3700. I had a question. It kind of ties into what you were just saying. I had once heard from a theologian that, and again, this is just a theory, that the earth, when the earth was created, it was created as a prison for the devil and the demons, the fallen angels. And so there could have been millions of years where they were trapped on earth, and it was completely, because in Genesis it talks about the earth was completely void, you know, and the waters, it was the earth was completely covered with water, you know, and
Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Well, it was all water. Amen. But it was almost, they were saying it could have been a prison for Lucifer and the fallen angels, and it could have been, they could have been here for millions of years. Could have that been
that
how
was the
Earth...
Jurassic Satanic era?
Yeah, Jurassic Satanic era. Yeah,
thank, no, you.
Thank
you. I'm out!
Yeah, that is what we would call a hybrid theory of the gap theory, and the gap theory it holds that there is a unspecified amount of time between Genesis 1:1, verse 1, and Genesis 1:2. So gap theorists would contend that God created the heavens and the earth, and then Satan fell. And they'll use other textual points such as Ezekiel and Jeremiah. But they'll say Satan fell. Where Satan went is the point of contention. So some have theorized, well, they came to earth and they populated earth and so on and so forth. And then God picked up on Genesis 1:2. I have problems with that on a personal level. The most apparent is that the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, is a completely different order than we are. It would almost be like saying, God, you know, I'm even trying to compare it, but a rock and a human being, they're completely different things. So are spiritual entities able to take residence, you know, as we can? I don't know. You know, that's a question I would have. I think it's too big of a question for us to deal with on this broadcast. But the point is, then you get the interpretation of Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Is there really supposed to be this break? But what that person told you, Dex, is what's called the gap theory.
All right. 338-3700. Good morning.
Hi, it's me again. I'm just stuck in a traffic jam, so I might be calling in.
Traffic jam when you're already late, man.
I know. It sucks. I'm on my way to work. But
isn't it
I was going to ask, have you guys heard of the Hovind theory?
Hovind.
Hovind. H-O-V-E-N-D theory. It's Dr. Ken Hovind, and he's a creationist. But his theory is that under the crust of the earth was a giant pocket of water. And that when the scripture says the fountains of the deep opened up and it rained down on the earth, he talks about how... It cracked, and that's how the continent separated, because the fountains of the deep opened up.
Yeah.
I prefer cheese in my crust.
Yeah. good question. Kent Hovind, first of all, let's just specify that he is not a scientist. He's an educator. And so don't be fooled by the doctor. Even though my doctorate's in education, I don't claim to be a scientist. And the theory's not unique to him. He actually got that from a true scientist who was Dr. Henry Morris. And Dr. Henry Morris proposed that at the time of the fall, there were these underground water tables, and that Genesis gives us an idea that both the canopy fell from the atmosphere as well as water came from the earth. And and Kent Hovind adopted that. So it's a little bit disappointing to me that some people are referring it to his theory. It is actually Henry Morris's theory of it.
Mm-hmm. He also got flooded with some legal trouble because
he
started serving a 10-year prison sentence for federal court conviction for failing to pay taxes.
The fact that you brought that up, I was trying to steer clear of that. That's why everyone was laughing at me in here, because I was like kind of rolling my eyes. Mr. Hovind is currently in jail. email right
now.
You
can check out his documentary. It's called Making a Scientist. It's on Netflix. And no? No? Okay.
Yeah, but good question. So Dr. Henry Morse, who was a legitimate, interesting enough, he was a water engineer. So
yeah.
he did have a lot of input and say, and Dr. Henry Morse is a very respectable man.
He created water?
Well,
that's incredible.
He was a hydrologist.
I mean, you do what you can when you know? With the time you're given.
338-3700. This is the hour where you get to be a part of it. You get to call in and you get to ask us questions. Whether it's,
and by us, we mean Brian.
Yeah, whether it's it's something about the Bible. Maybe it's a theory that you had heard.
I got one I want to shoot in the foot.
Yeah,
I just want to drag it out to the middle of the desert and shoot. It's called New Earth Theory.
Now, hang on, Stephen. Here's the problem.
You know, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that these people are talking about, like, 10,000 years ago, you know, Pangea, like, split apart and
you're
all that
gonna
stuff.
You're going to get a lot of phone
That's
calls.
That's fine.
About
I'll take it. You know, direct them to my email address. That's steveojeter@calvaryabq.org.
That's my same complaint.
That's
email.
Yours? I do want to talk about it because it is, yeah. I mean, like, when you mentioned 10,000 years ago, you know, Pangea, I kind of cringed. I was like, seriously? I understand what they're doing. I understand they take a pencil and they take a paper and they take the Bible and they go, you know, well, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is actually 6 days, you know, 24 times six. That's mm-hmm. how many hours it took for right. God to create. But then the Bible clearly states a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, which is basically, in my interpretation, saying, hey, time has no place in God's. That doesn't even register. You're putting human attributes on a God that created the universe, which is asinine.
Yeah.
So my question is, can we just drag it out to the desert and shoot it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of scientists who would like to drag out the young Earth theory to shoot it. But in all fairness, let me give the four major theories of this. And because there are lots of Christians that are young Earth creationists. Mm-hmm. So let me give them. So the young Earth creationists believe that the Earth is roughly 10,000 years old. And they follow they follow Bishop Usher's chronology. So a guy
U-S-H-E-R-R-A-Y-M. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So Bishop Usher came up with a chronology, and Steve, he did exactly what you said. He basically sat down with a pen and paper and tried to the best of his ability chronicle the genealogies, and he came up with October 4004. So that's where young Earth creationists. Then, Dex, what you brought up are the gap theorists. They believe there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2.
Is that where you're at, Stephen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you probably are sort more on what's called a progressive creationist you believe in, which is the third group.
New term for your business card.
Yeah. Progressive creationism believe that God created over an undetermined, unknown period
undetermined.
Of time.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. And then the fourth group are what are called theistic evolutionists. They believe that God created through the evolutionary process. And I would say a lot of the top scientists who are also Christians happen to be theistic evolutionists. Probably the most famous is Francis Collins, who wrote The Language of God, who was in charge of the Human Genome Project under President Bill Clinton.
Is that Bill Clinton?
And,
well, let's be honest. Yes, yes.
I thought it was older than that.
Yeah.
I think we got a prophet in the house.
Yeah. Bill Clinton and his predecessors, he's no longer in charge of the human genome, but he is an evangelical Christian who happens to be an evolutionist as well. So those are the four main: young Earth, gap theory, progressive day-age theory, and theistic evolution. So what you just espoused, Stephen, is what we'd call progressive or day-age. What Dex brought up, not saying he's believing it, but what he brought up is called the gap theory. What Walt Brown or this gal was proposing was a young Earth. And then there's the theistic evolutionist.
And I was raised with the Earth is only 5,000 years old. I mean, and that, not to say that's what I believe, but that I always thought that's what the majority of Christians believed, was that it was 5 to 10,000 years old. That's what I've been taught.
No, I would say the majority of Christians today would probably fall under a day age or a evolutionary.
But what about both? Can I have a new job description on my business card? Because I'm a little bit of both. Like the case for creation clearly brought up like things like the Cambrian, you know,
explosion. Sure.
Yeah. So where evolution kind of worked, or I would call it microevolution or adaptation, and then there's a clear cut stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then there was birds, and then there was a
yeah,
new.
Sure.
You know, exactly. It goes right along with the Bible.
Sure. Yeah. There are hybrid approaches to all of them. I mean, there. You know, obviously, in our human knowledge, we don't have the full picture that God has. So we're just discovering those within general revelation. We're learning more about God's handiwork in the world, and we're coming to new conclusions. I don't rest my hat on any of them. I always file it, and I say, I'm just waiting for further information. There are some that I heavily lean towards. I will lean heavily away from young earth creationism, as most people know.
I think the thing with it is, you have some problems with it. Number one is you have people that write off other people's relationship with God because of how they feel about how old the earth is.
Right, and Stephen?
What that comes down to is some people taking a very literal approach to Genesis, and then some people taking a less literal or maybe a more figurative approach to it. But I don't think in any place is that necessarily a hardcore essential thing.
No
now you'll
way.
Have some people say
no way, that,
you'll have some people say that if you can't take it literally, then you can't take the word of God literally, and that's why you're not a Christian. And
no.
I think that's a bit of an overstep.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on, Mateo, that we cannot make this an essential of our faith. Throughout 2,000 years, it has not been made an essential. And for some people to elevate it to an essential is really going against 2,000 years of Christian witness.
And the other problem is you have some, like an outside entity working against it, and then an inside entity working against it, because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And right now, the creationist movement has put a lot of money into making their voice heard, or the young earth creationist movement, I should say. They want to, I mean, you hear about answers in Genesis all the time. But then you have the media, the mass media, who says, this is what all Christians believe.
Yep. Right.
You know, so you have, like, it's a lot of give and take.
338-3700, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. What's going on?
Matt Gentry.
No. Matt Gentry.
You're calling during the wrong hour. This is the smart people hour.
Matt, I know you're smart.
Oh, that's funny.
That's messed up.
I know you're smart, Matt. Ask a smart question now.
All right, so I got a question for you. I was just talking to a fellow Christian about this the other day. He believes one thing, I believe another about creation. And we ended the conversation, and I really didn't know how to respond to this. He said, well, it doesn't really matter what we believe. It doesn't change the truth. And I wasn't sure if I just should respond to that or just like, okay.
Yeah, that's a conundrum.
I like that. I like that.
But I mean, it depends on what he's saying. But the core of it is, you know what, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we believe about creation. You know, what it matters is that whether we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Because all the rest of this is kind of just, well, it's just great conversation. It's things that we love to explore. But honestly, the truth of the matter is, and you know that, Matt. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But, you know, Christ said, you know, believe in me and confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And that, I think, hopefully, is the truth that he was referring to.
Yeah,
and I just don't. It's interesting how Christians take a subject like this, and it will end up dividing them. Mm. And so that's what I didn't want.
And the Bible talks a lot about, you know, put away these childish disputes, these petty little things that are going to separate us.
What I've found is just sitting there and trying to debate, unless you can do it in a calm. Just in a fun way, I guess. You know, it's pointless to try and sit there and fight, you know? Mm-hmm. Just, okay. Yeah. I loved how you handled that, you know? You just kind of walked away.
And let me chime in here, Matt. What I do appreciate about what your friend said is that, you know, there is truth. And we may have wrong perceptions of truth. Truth is outside of ourself. We don't invent truth. Truth is discovered based upon what God has given. Mm-hmm. So we may be wrong in our interpretation of the truth, how we're dealing with the truth, but it is out there. So there is truth, and the truth is there because there is a God, and God is truth. What we are trying to deal with on this human level is try to discover that truth, and at a point, we're limited in our knowledge. And that's where we're going to have to say, you know what? There is truth out there. We're going to debate and fight over this, but let it not divide us.
Yeah. I think it also comes back to what Stephen said about faith. I mean, if we could prove everything without a doubt 100% and saw everything and knew everything, there would be zero faith to that. Sure, you'd know, but I mean, I equate everything to comic books because I'm a nerd, and I always think of this character, Constantine, who, you know, knew that there was a God because he saw and witnessed, but he didn't care about him, and that was the hang-up. He just kind of walked away, and sadly, a lot of people walk away without knowing anything because they just say, eh, whatever, I'm never really going to discover it, which is, I think, why we have the show to begin with is, yeah, maybe we're never going to fully know if we're 10,000 years old or 100 gajillion years old, but it's still fun to discover and go through it because we grow through those experiences. I don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, I don't care, bro, whatever. I'm just, you know, Jesus, that's right. It. But then you don't really have any substance to your faith.
Right, because what that's doing, it's relegating truth to an insignificant thing.
Absolutely.
Truth matters.
Yes.
Now, we may not fully comprehend it or get it, and that's why we philosophize and we discuss and we argue, because we're trying to figure out the truth. And this side of eternity, we will not know the full truth. But the bottom line is God knows the full truth. And what Stephen said, I think, it really cuts to the chase, is ultimately, you know, when we attach ourselves and we believe and we follow Christ, we know he's the truth. He knows all things. And though we don't, we could trust that he will work it out.
I believe it was the great theologian Fox Mulder that said, the truth is out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
338-3700.
January 24th on Fox.
The hour where you call in. We only have, what do we have, 5 minutes left of the,
Yeah,
the hour?
Wow.
So let's try to squeeze in these phone calls. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so a little while ago, the conversation has kind of shifted. You were talking about, well, where did Lucifer go when he fell? This is something I've thought about, and I've come up with sort of a postulation. Now, I want to know if it makes sense to you or not. I'm using John 1:1 to set the ground, the assumption that God is a necessary condition for existence. And what I'm sort of thinking is that the different dimensions, the different metaphysical planes that we exist, for example, the third dimension is moving parallel to the second dimension. I'm wondering if since God is a necessary condition for existence and his presence permeates through these different planes, if perhaps what happened was when Lucifer took a third of these angels, as it says in Ezekiel, when he was thrown to earth, if he perhaps went to a different dimension and that's how he interacts with our physical world, is a distortation of that energy through the medium of God's existence.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and it's not. By the way, there's been many, many, many people before you, and I applaud you.
Yeah,
for real. You actually used great theology. God is the necessary being. These are theological terminology that we use. God's simplicity. He's a necessary being. He's pure actuality. So good for you on that. And you were also correct that there are various layers, if you will. There are various, you know, types of heaven. There are various planes of existence, however we want to determine it. And what you just articulated is where I stand. I think when Satan fell, he went to a different plane of existence, what we'd call the supernatural spiritual realm, which has access to the physical realm, but it also has transcendence of the physical realm. So you were spot on. Good for you. Let me ask you a question. Have you studied a little bit theology? You use some really key, good theological terms.
I have not explicitly studied theology, but I am in the scientific realm, and so I think an understanding of theology in and of itself is necessary, both for defense of the Christian faith and because, you know, different scientific entities actually point towards the existence and can give us greater enumeration on God's nature and his essence, like Oh, gosh.
Amen.
Open invitation.
This is good.
Anytime. I've never seen Brian this giddy. He's like...
Yeah, this is good. Well, now it makes... She's a scientist, so it makes total sense to me why I'm rejoicing with this lady's phone call.
These are my listeners, by the way.
He's just nodding.
I brought these
nodding.
Scientists.
Like, take, for instance, the nature of an electron, and they have various valence shells, and an electron can only... absorb a certain wavelength of light, and it can only emit a certain wavelength of
light. That's exactly right.
I was just thinking about this in the shower this morning.
You are spot on.
God's love is for us. We can only accept certain forms of love, and then we can only emit those certain forms of love as well. So in a way, like, our connection to God is sort of like the connection between an electron and these energy forms.
Hey, what's
it's
your...
It's really cool to look at these.
What's your name?
What are you doing Thursday morning from 9 to
10
o'clock?
You want to come replace
me?
Come
take my place.
Yes!
Yeah, that's good stuff. And you know, what you're doing is you are doing what many Christian thinkers throughout the ages have done. They're correlating or conjoining God's natural revelation with his specific revelation. Because again, same God, same author. And he's not, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So it really, great insight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, please email us, studio at star88.fm.
We
would love
scientist.
To have you on at some point and hang out. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
I also have, can I ask just one more question?
You've got 47 seconds, but yes.
Okay, 47 questions. I've also done a little bit of research into Christian apologetics, and I'm wondering, maybe it's just what I'm watching, but why is it that Christian apologetics consistently and systematically lose in the scientific arena?
Because they have a hard time separating origin science from operational science.
Whoa!
Most Christian apologists deal in origin science, and they're not scientists, so they will lose in operational science. It's because they're not scientists. So when people start, let's just take a cell. When they say adenine, cystosine, guanine, and thymine, and they want to talk about how the phosphate and bases and all these things work, most apologists, it just goes over their head because they're not scientists, whereas they're apologists. That's why I am a huge advocate that we need more scientists speaking into the very nature of apologetics because they do understand the science behind it. But it comes down to operational versus origin science. Apologists usually are dealing with origin science, who created it, and operational scientists are discussing how it was done.
Man, I understood 7 words. That was awesome. That was
sure,
great.
Okay.
Thank
I'm
you for calling.
You understood that.
Yeah, thank you for calling. That was great.
Amazing.
Seriously, email us with your info because you are going to take my spot.
No, take mine! She's smarter than all of us put together.
That
she can take
great.
All of our spots.
That
all
was
right.
awesome.
We'd like to thank Stephen Christian and Brian Nixon for hanging out with us for the hour. I love that. Oh, love that. So awesome.
Dude, our first week is almost in the books.
I know.
Crazy.
They haven't fired you yet.
They have not fired me yet.
Trent,
there's still hope, though, guys, okay? Right. We still have one more day.
All right, if you missed any of the show, you missed this last hour, it'll be up at our podcast. Just head on over to star88.fm, and you guys hit our Morning Invasion page. You guys can get this show in the past 2 days right there at our podcast, star88.fm. We love you guys. We're always here for you. We'll see you tomorrow.